Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to VOA's special broadcast of the Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm joined by my compatriots, my partners.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Yo, listen, we are here finally. It's the playoffs from Karahari. We went up north to Cairo for the Nile Conference in Egypt.
Then we went to Dakar.
I don't know, we took a bus and we drove. We flew. How are we traveling?
We're doing all sorts.
How the aviation industry in Africa is. So we might be having to take a bus. You know what I'm saying? Because those tickets be expensive. But yeah, guys. And then from Dakar, we are finally in Kigali, Rwanda for the fourth edition.
Without
season number four, people. Season number four.
But we're supposed to be in Kigali right now.
Wow, man. Don't say the quiet part out loud, my guy. But listen, gentlemen, today is the beginning of our coverage of the playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. Mark Bill and Mike are going to be joining me today. It's going to be a marathon, fellas. It's like game after game. We are starting off with Cape Town Tigers playing against Al Ahly of Libya. And then we'll be FC Eurobat against Al Ahly of Egypt. Those are the two different Al Ahlys. Do not mix them. Do not confuse them. Two different countries, two different teams. Both formidable because they made it. Al Ahly Egypt is the reigning champions. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes, sir. And they also have the best record coming out of the conferences as well. I believe it's 5-1.
Yeah.
So they're going to be tough. But I really like that second game a lot. That FUS Rabat, the debutante team, who also came out firing on all cylinders from the initial Kalahari conference. So I'm excited to see what they do against each other.
Absolutely.
But we first got, you know, Al Ahly Libya and the Cape Town Tigers. South Africa's in the building,
in the
baby.
Well, with ease.
We don't know how they made it to the house.
Hey, but we're here, though.
But that's another story of another day. Hey, Mikey here with roots from that part of the world. I'm quite sure we'll be rooting for his home team,
course,
the Cape Town Tigers. What kind of chances do you think they have against Libya?
Oh, it's going to be a tough game for them, man. The Libyans were looking good in their conference play. Cape Town Tigers only rocked out of their conference with one game. Likely, based on points, they're probably the weakest team at the playoffs. But listen, you never know. We've seen time and time games played where the so-called underdog, the so-called weak link, turns out to be the one rocking out.
Mike,
so I'm looking forward to it.
What happened with our coverage of AFCON?
They're the last team in there and they win the whole thing.
So all that matters is you have to have amnesia.
Forget about yesterday and focus on today.
How crazy would it be if Cape Town Tigers took the whole thing?
I'm telling you, it would be lovely.
What we spoke about in AFCON, right?
We're like, oh my God. And
we love those stories.
Every game that went by, you're like, oh, wait, hold up, is this really happening? Oh, so listen, more than anything, I'm excited for this game. I'm excited to see how the Cape Town Tigers play. And of course, Al Ahly Libya, them being debutants in the whole tournament, I'm really excited to see them, to see how they play in tip-off.
Okay. And again, the big elephant in the room that we want to talk about before, how did Cape Town Tigers
make it through the back door
to Kigali over Bangui?
I mean, there was information that came out with Bangui having, personal issues, as you know, they had some
personnel issues.
I think it was more of like a financial situation team. Coach Liz Mills, that we've seen in the competition for years, actually ended up leaving due to a conflict. She wasn't paid on time and such things. So I think maybe that could have something to do with it. Yeah. Yeah. But we honestly don't really know, because when we're just looking at it, it should technically be per wins and losses.
Mm-hmm. Bangui should have made it.
So unless Bangui, maybe after they got done with it, maybe had a conversation that we're not privy to with the BAL, stating that, hey, we can no longer
go on.
We can no longer play. Yeah. And then, because of that, then Cape Town becomes the next team through simply because they had less games to play than the other fourth seeds. It could make sense.
It's even then, it's hard to say because the announcement of Cape Town Tigers making it through
was early on.
Very early.
Yes.
It was before we even knew who's making it through from the Sahara Conference.
For sure. So I think they should have. I think
they should have waited.
Yes. I think it should have been held off on simply because it now, you know, puts this asterisk on their game. And I think that's not fair to the players and the coach. You know, if I make it, I make it. But don't make it seem like I kind of, you know, got pushed through. And then now you don't even feel like you're worthy to be in the competition. So hopefully the guys and the team can forget about it.
I will tell you now, I've got personal intel saying the guys are ready, man.
I'm glad to hear that.
The guys are ready,
bro. I'm glad to hear that. We are going to be
intel.
I got the folks on the inside saying we're ready, man.
I mean, today, this game right now is about to tell us whether your intel is actually legit or not.
But Jax, here's another thing. They may be ready, but Alali might be more ready.
They're already. Listen, you don't make it to this platform
and not be ready.
Of course. You have to be ready for to fall out. So.
But again, we don't know how, you know, on what level of readiness both teams
what it's going to look like.
We've seen, you know, Elali Libya play with such brilliance. They have great, you know, players, a great squad that has, you know, somehow managed to find the chemistry and do great things, you know, put up great plays against some big teams. But we don't know how things are. They're about to unfold. We are looking at live images in the BK Arena as players are shooting around. I don't know what kind of nerves they're feeling right now. I was speaking to Will Perry yesterday and Divine Ake of the Rivers Hoopers, the Nigerian side that dominated at the Sahara Conference, asking them what the mood is like in Kigali. They're like, they're ready. They're just like focused. In, you know what I'm saying?
Tunnel vision.
Yeah.
They played really well. I can't state this enough. Having seen Rivers Hoopers play in past seasons and not, you know, holding themselves to the level of, you know, Nigeria is a big country in Africa, man. It's you look to Nigeria for a lot of things, right? So when you have the Rivers Hoopers in past seasons come out flat and really just get dominated in the group stages, it just doesn't look good for the continent.
Right.
You know, you have to have the powerhouses look like they're powerhouses,
correct.
At least get into the playoffs and get in the mix. So I'm really glad to see, you know, them coming out with a bang. This is the strongest they've looked in this competition, picking the right personnel. We had, you know, the pleasure of speaking with Queen, their PR rep, and she has told us, you know, it was, you know, strategic planning on picking the right players that fit them accordingly, and they play together so well. So all in all, we are excited to see them play as well.
And speaking of resources, they got an injection of resources from the government of Rivers State because initially, as we said, you know, Bangi might have had an issue with funding. Same issue with the Rivers Hoopers in previous years. They have not had like private sector players come in to, you know, push and support the team until this year. When the Rivers State government injected funding, they took over management and they've been funding, and that's why we see they're able to get guys like Will Perry and Divine Ake. Divine Ake, by the way, a small forward for Rivers Hoopers who was on the fence, and we're going to bring you that interview later on in our programming, but he was on the fence about joining Rivers Hoopers because he'd not had good things, I guess, about, you know, how they're doing. You've not, you know, until his cousin who plays for the WNBA convinced him that that would be a great move for him to do. So, as you said, we look to Nigeria to be a powerhouse in many of these, you know, aspects, whether it's in, you know, sports, whether it's in oil, you know, whatever. But they have not been doing well in terms of managing the resources and injecting them in sports, you know, franchises like Rivers Hoopers.
So, gentlemen, if we're looking to this first game, Al Ahly Libya versus South Africa, the Cape Town Tigers, who are some players that that you guys are maybe looking at? I have the roster right here. I think for me, the players that I'm looking towards is a player like Diu Deng, right? this young man was playing for Dynamo, and we have an interview that we'll be talking to Israel Otobo that was playing with the Dynamo. We'll have that on later on as well. And he was mentioning the fact that some of the Dynamo players basically got dispersed, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Jackson and I asked him whether or not they would have been allowed to play in...
other teams?
Play for other teams. And they said, yeah, the ruling in BAL is that if you've played for a conference within a conference game, you cannot play in another conference, but you can play in the playoffs. So the young man now, Dio Deng, is South Sudanese, and he will be playing for the Cape Town Tigers now. Yep. And I definitely think I'm looking to him to see, because it was almost like his season was taken from him playing for Dynamo. Oh, yeah. So somebody like that is really hungry to showcase their skills. So I'm going to
A sad way to end a season for Dynamo, having played on the road to BAL, having won the local leagues, making it to South Africa first time as a debutant team.
Wasn't expected,
exactly. Right. And then they win their first game, and then because of politics, they had to drop out. They could have been in Kigali right now, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do we have lined up?
Absolutely. So, as we were just mentioning on that topic right here, we had an interview with Israel Otobo, basically speaking to us about his experiences with the Dynamo Basketball Club and now playing for APR and what he's looking forward to next season.
So, Israel, thank you for joining us. It's such how first of all, you are in Kigali, where the BAL playoffs are about to tip off this weekend. What is the energy like? What is the mood like? Is this also your first time in Kigali?
Nah, this is my second time in Kigali. Yeah. I think because we played the best of Burundi and best of Rwanda in December, so that was the time I came. That was my first time in Kigali. So
gotcha. What is the mood like in Kigali as they're getting ready for the playoffs?
Oh well, it's so unfortunate we didn't make it to the playoffs. So the mood for us is very like, we just have to train and see how we can win the league and see how we can get to BAL. But for the city, like for me, I think it's really moving. Like, I think things are going on, like preparations, everything is moving, and they're putting everything in place. So I think it's really going to be like a great competition here. So it's really going to be fun for real.
Let's start off from the beginning of you growing up in Bayelsa State in Nigeria. How did you get interested in basketball? How did you get into basketball?
Like you said, you read I was supposed to be like a football player. So first of all, I have no idea about basketball. I was in school and then I was playing football. And then I think my dad just like woke up one morning and took me to go play basketball in the complex, because there are so many like people around, like neighbors and friends. They'd be like talking to him, say, oh, your son is tall, he's big, you need to put him in basketball, he shouldn't be playing football and all the stuff. So there's a day he just like took me to where they play like basketball, and then he registered me there. So I had no choice but to just be there and start learning. So that was how I got I got to know about basketball. I started learning from Bayelsa State. So that was the beginning.
Was it a tough transition? How hard was it to transition from football to basketball for you?
Yeah, it's very tough and very difficult because for me, I think the workouts you do, the energy, the mindset, the training is very different. So it was really, really hard for me to switch, because in basketball, you need to jump and jump and jump. You need to run. But in football, you just need to, like just run. And, you are not going to, like, take more, like, energy. But in basketball, you work out, you tend to jump a lot. So it was really, really hard for me, like. It was really, really difficult, but it took me time, though, so I just had to adapt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You look great, man, doing it. So good thing is your dad got you in early enough. So let's talk about this BAL season for you, right? You joined Dynamo. Dynamo, you guys played your first game against the Cape Town Tigers. Phenomenal game. You played really well. Yeah, you were a very, very standout player for the team. And then, you know, politics, I guess, get involved with your team. What was the feeling like for the players? Because I know that the decision that was made wasn't from you guys. It was from, you know, higher up. How did the players feel after not being able to continue in the conference?
Wow, that was, for me, that is my biggest disappointment in my life so far. Right? Everybody was bad. Everybody was sad. Like, everybody was devastated. Like, for me, I couldn't even believe it. Like, I can't even believe that we can't even continue, because we worked so hard, like, really, really so hard, because we came from Road to Bal, and then Elite 16, and then we made it to the BL, and now this is happening. It was really, really so bad, because honestly, some players, they were like, oh, this is not happening, they can't even believe it. But I just knew that, oh, okay, maybe we can continue. So it's really going to, like, affect us, our lives, our careers, and wow, it was really, really big for us. But it's so bad for us. Like, everybody was sad, everybody was like head down, everybody wasn't happy, and then we just have to, like, let go and continue. We'll see what the future holds for us, for real.
Yeah, that must have been quite disappointing, especially you guys did really well. You played the first game, you won it. You most likely would have been able to make it to the playoffs with the kind of play that you had. Man, you made the switch from Dynamo. You're now in APR. What are you looking forward to? I mean, right now you haven't even started the season with them. Have you trained with them so far? How are things feeling? How is the chemistry working?
Yeah. When I first came, that was last month. So they were actually, like, training for the BL, so I just had to, like, join the training a little bit, but the training was mainly for the guys who are going to play the BL. So unfortunate for us, we didn't make it. So now I think we are having a break, but by next week we are going to be back fully, and we are going to prepare for the league. We are really, like, solid. We have, like, one mindset, and we see how we can win the league again and get the tickets for the BL next year.
Players like you that had played on the Dynamo already, when you switched over to make the transition to APR, even though they hadn't started with their conference yet, were you not allowed to play, or was it that they had selected certain players already to play in that conference?
No, I think we are not allowed to play, but I think we are allowed to play the finals now.
If they had made it to the playoffs. If they had made it to the playoffs, you'd have been okay. Yeah, Mark Bill and I were asking ourselves whether you would have been able to play the playoffs if you had been.
I would have been, because my teammate, what's his name? Deng. Deng is playing for, like, Cape Town, so I think I would have been able to play. So,
gotcha.
It's just so unfortunate. Yeah, we didn't make it.
What advice would you give? I mean, you're still very young. What advice would you give to young basketball players in Africa right now who are looking at the game, to start out in their career?
Yeah, for me, I'm just going to say that you have to be, like, focused, you have to be determined, you have to have, like, the mindset, and then overall, you have to have, like, good, how should I put it, like, good coaches, like, the team you are in, like, if it's a team, academy, you have to have, like, good people around you, people who are willing to help you, people who are willing to see you go, succeed in life, and then you as a person, you have to have a very strong mindset, and you have to be focused in life. So you just have to train and keep pushing, because it's for sure that you are definitely going to get those opportunities. So you have to be ready, because when those opportunities is going to come and then you are not ready, it's going to be like, you are not ready. So it's just going to like,
you're going to miss them.
By, yeah. And then you miss it like big time. So what I'm going to say that you really have to train and stay ready. You never know if something can just come up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a follow-up question on that. What are some of your goals? Like, what's your end goal with basketball? And like, what levels do you want to get to? Of course, obviously, I would believe NBA. But from here now where you are, what do you think are your next steps?
Okay, for me, right now, I'm just trying to like win the league over here and then see how we can get to Bar. But overall, my goal, I'm trying to get into the G League, so I see how I could play and then like train, improve, and then see how I could get in the G League in the US. So that's like my goal. For real.
You know, great goals, man. Obviously, I feel like, you know, with the team that you have right now, APR, if you guys get back into the BAL, you have tremendous skill, man. So
yeah,
we definitely will be seeing you.
How do you handle pressure? Again, one advice you would give to young players, how do you handle some of the pressure you have, like to play in such a league, in such a very visible, prominent league as a young player?
Oh, for me, I don't think it's a really big pressure for me, because where I'm coming from, like, it's so hard and tough there. Like, you know, like, you can just imagine someone coming from Bayelsa State. Like, it's very tough. There's no, like, I think we have just one indoor, but we are mostly using the, like, outdoor. And then from there, I moved to, like, Lagos State. I was still using outdoor. It was tough. It was really, really tough in Lagos. I played the league. Everything was tough for me. So for me, I just feel like I'm used to this toughness. Like, that's the way I was brought up. I wasn't brought up in like you know, these things of white guys and then indoor good gym and stuff like that. So I was really brought up in a very hard
in a pressure condition. You already know the pressure.
Yeah, so for me. Yeah, it's just normal for me. It's just like everything we do in the BAL, even in Burundi, we play outdoor. It's also tough. So for me, I think the BAL is just like normal for me. It's not even that strong, but
yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, you see, I just have to just play. That's where I play. Like, it's very physical and it's normal for me. Like,
listen, we wish you nothing but success, man. I think you have a great future. I can see you playing for one of these NBA teams in a few years. We see the kind of caliber player that you have. And then, you know, just the glimpses we saw you in South Africa, I can tell that you have what it takes to be here playing with the big guys in the NBA.
Yeah, so I hope. I still have to work. I still have to keep working, keep my energy up, and then I see what the future is going to hold for real.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Best of luck, brother. Best of luck, man.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. We look forward to, next season when you guys make it to
Israel,
the BAL.
Otobo, he is currently a player.
But in the meantime, enjoy the BAL playoffs. Sorry. And
are we good?
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, sure. For real.
All right, brother. Yeah. Thank you, man.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Salute.
That was Israel Otobo, APR player previously with Dynamo of Burundi. They played in the Karahari Conference in South Africa. My guy is originally from Bayelsa State. He said he does not feel any kind of pressure because he has already lived the pressure, Mark Bill. He tried playing in the heat, in the African heat.
Oh, my goodness. He said, as long as
in the AC.
He said, as long as you get me indoors with AC,
I'm flying.
It's nothing to me. It's light work. I love it, man. We hope to see him in the future. He's going to be playing with APR this season, upcoming season.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're able to win and we're able to see him play in the BAL once again. it was unfortunate how his time got cut short.
Here is my projection on this. Okay. I don't think APR is going to make it to the top of the league this year. And that means for him, he will have to be looking for another team. Because his goal is to play for a team that is on the BAL, playing in the BAL. So
for sure.
I think
his goal is to make it with the team that he is currently on so that they can have a level of chemistry, right? Because that's always the best. When you get an entire season, you can play with a team. But if that's not the case, oh, you got to jump.
Yeah.
So, and he's good enough to be able to get picked up with any other team that have potential openings. I definitely don't see him not playing in the league next year. I'm just not sure, like you said, whether it will be with APR or not.
Absolutely. Mikey, many of these young players who have, learned how to play, in their little home courts, whatever community courts they have back home, potholes and all that, when they get to the nice infrastructure like, say, the BK Arena or any other of these, they really do well. They shine.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, sometimes what do they call it? Diamonds go through
fire. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you gotta go through these hardships.
Actually, it's precious. Yes.
Right? So I'm not surprised that a lot of these players are able to do that. And look, the positivity of it is if you can play in hard conditions, by the time you get it AC, that's light work, man. That's light work. So, listen, shout out to them, man.
Absolutely. Shout out to Israel Otobo. I hope he's able to play in Season 5 of the Basketball Africa League. And if you're just joining us, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm here with Mark Bill Yabaro and Mike Hove. We are bringing you the BAL playoffs that are currently about to tip off in Kigali, Rwanda. We have a live view or live feed coming in from the BK Arena. I'm not able to see any people in the stands, in the what the crowd is like, but we know that previously the Rwandan management has been able to rally people, mobilize fans to come and fill up that arena, the BK Arena, that was built for the Basketball Africa League,
Jax,
a couple of years ago.
It'll be very interesting. As you've mentioned, in the past seasons, we've always had a Rwandan team in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see if the Rwandan, officials and the BAL organization can rally up, the fans to get excited for someone other than a home team, because we've seen it in all the conferences in the past. Kalahari, Cape Town had the biggest fan base. Dakar, AS Douan had the biggest, and Nile, it was Al Ahly Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you now make sure that you galvanize and make the excitement around the game and not necessarily about the team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In case you're just joining us, Basketball Africa League playoffs season 4. Gentlemen, it's already season 4. I know we can't get over the fact that it's been 4 years
Aging like fine wine.
Absolutely. And that's what we would love to see, season 5, 6, and 7, how these things are going to be organized, because it also talks about the organization behind this, this league, how it evolves itself, in terms of, resources, the kind of individuals they bring in,
the influencers, musicians,
exactly,
actors.
We're about to tip off in Kigali. Cape Town Tigers are going to take on Al Ahly of Libya. It's going to be the first game of the Basketball Africa League season 4 playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. I'm sure either one of the teams coming in here ready mentally, both mentally and physically. We have our iconic, what is that called? The iconic graphic when the game is about to start. And we'll be bringing you live coverage. Stay tuned. We're on our website at voaafrica.com. Click on that little banner up on top. Mikey has worked on that, joined for months now, and is populated with enough content for all of you basketball lovers.
Yeah.
And for those of you looking to get into the game of basketball, a beautiful game that we're glad that is, our continent is shining with these young players hoping to make it to bigger platforms
As hold on, before we, you know, we are tip off the NBA in our, what is going on? What is going on? We're in the
To me, we're in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals right now. Mm-hmm. The Timberwolves versus the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. The Mavericks are up 1-0, but the Timberwolves are coming off of that tough Game 7 against the defending champs, the Nuggets.
A little tired. Ant-Man said he's a little tired.
Legs are a little tired when you have to chase Jamal Murray, and in the next game you have to chase around Kyrie. He'll be back though, Game 2.
He put himself in the position. He's like, no, I'm holding down Kyrie now. Oh, yeah. And then Kyrie was like, I'm about to show you.
He'll be back Game 2, though. He'll be back Game 2. It'll be fun.
It's lights out in BK Arena. I guess that means there's some sort of entertainment going on, or national anthem.
Can we see
the little DJ booth? Let's get some live sound from the BK Arena.
It's the business time of the season, and it's time for the players to show out.
Yeah, super exciting times, of course, Kigali. And as we can see, these are the teams that have been battling it out.
The first game, Cape Town Tigers, the Lally of Libya is about to tip off. Each of the teams wants to take this to the next level. Hopefully, I think tomorrow is the final games. Not necessarily.
Tomorrow are the games that will be deciding on, you know,
what happens on Sunday, and Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's some math in there that we'll try to understand how things happen, but we might be back in studio on Sunday and even on Monday,
right?
Depending on how this, you know, the game today and tomorrow goes. Today's Cape Town Tigers, a team that did not do well in the conference. They were the home team in the Kahari Conference, but I think we're only able to win one game against Petro de Rwanda of Angola, but you know, they finally made it to Kigali, and that's all it takes.
Welcome.
And hopefully,
hey, you know they say sometimes it don't matter how you got here,
as long as you got here.
So they are here, man, and you know we could quickly forget about their past in the conference as long as they come out.
Don't let your past dictate your future. As the old wise African men say.
So Jackson opened up a fortune cookie and read that right now.
But El Ahly of Libya has some really great players. Who are some of the people on the El Ahly?
Yeah, El Ahly Libya, if I'm looking at it, it's interesting because they have some heavy hitters from Al Ahly Egypt, actually, that came through. Sofyan Hamad is the captain of the Al Ahly Libya team now, and he's originally from the Al Ahly Egypt team. Mahmoud Ben Haji is also from Al Ahly Egypt as well. They have a BAL Elevate player by the name of Asan Mandian, young player. It'll be interesting to see what he does. You know, we always try to highlight the young players from the Elevate programs. Mm-hmm. You have a guy by the name of Solomon Diabate. Solo is what they call him.
No,
Solo.
Yes,
from Petro, man.
Yeah, from Petro.
He's from Petro. So, you know, he's definitely on this team as well. So, yeah, they got quite a few players. And then they have a U.S. player by the name of Kevin Murphy, mm-hmm. who I believe also has played in some games. He's now playing for his prior team was a club, Rihadi Lebanon, prior to coming over to Al Ahly Libya. So that's who I'm looking for on Al Ahly Libya. South Africa, as we mentioned, Dio Deng from Dynamo. Carter Diarra, the captain from Kansas State.
Cartier. My bad.
Like the Cartier frames.
Come on, man.
Like the Cartier frames. My bad. You know, I only wear Prada. You know? We also have Yahya Diop, who's a BAL Elevate player as well. And Mohamedou Diop from Bangui. So you got a nice cultivate. And let me give a shout out to Mike's guy, man, Dalen Whitbread, man. This is a pretty solid team, man. And we obviously know Samkelo is a hooper. He's a baller.
Yeah.
He puts up insane numbers. Whether they win or lose, you can always expect him to put up numbers. So he's going to have to take a big brunt of this offense in order to get them going. But I'm really hoping that this is a game that, you know, is going to keep us excited throughout the entirety of the game. We don't need to see any blowouts.
Who is the difference maker in Cape Town? Who is the person you're looking to?
I would say Cartier. Yeah. He's been the big hooper.
It says Cartier Ducati?
Okay. So Cartier and Ducati. Hey, the fams had some expensive taste,
right?
I love it.
Yeah,
I would
give it to Cartier and Cosinati Sibanyoni. Yeah. I think those are the two players. We're about to find out.
Absolutely.
And we have Tipov in Kigali, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Kigali.
The land of a thousand hills, Al Ahly Libya and the Cape Town Tigers get the BAL season for playoffs off the ground. Cape Town Tigers playing, of course, in black, Al Ahly Libya in white. Possession back in the hands of that man, Cartier Diarra, who's the captain for the Tigers today. Shot goes over the top there from Sam Kello. And there's Trey Golden getting his first touch of this ball, first taste of the BAL as the ball goes out of play, touched last by Atchwell.
So, of course, it's the first time these two teams have seen each other in Basketball Africa League, first time they've seen each other on the continent, and this is an important game, seeding game 7th and 8th ranked teams.
It's not the first time that we actually have met Usher, because Usher is a major fixture in the BAL right from the very start. Usher, we're so happy to have you as part of this team. How are you today?
Well, just feeling excited to see this battle of supremacy between a team from the north of Africa and one from South Africa.
Yeah, we're at both ends of the continent, of course. There's a long-range shot going in. Oh, there are your first points. Sumptuously delivered there by Mr. Ben Alhaj.
If you were picking a first scorer, probably wouldn't have been Ben Alhaj in this team, but he goes ahead and he makes an open jump shot.
Well, quick ball to get the ball up to the same player. He tries to use the glass. Doesn't fall. Picked up by Diadang.
Alhaj averaging 1.5 points and just 2 rebounds in that opening conference. In the now conference.
Cartier Diarra just swinging it back out. There's a chance for Ndoye. Ndoye, one of the recruits that's come through for the Cape Town Tigers. And they'll get possession back, Al Ahly Libya.
And that's an interesting matchup. Sam Kello Tlalem up against Kevin Murphy. Murphy is a veteran two-way player. And he's going to try and get that going. And you have a look at Ben Alhaj opening up the scoring in this finals, in the playoffs, in the seeding games.
so exciting. Yeah, and afterwards we got the quarterfinals, of course. So we'll find out who will play who, having seen all of these first four fixtures over the next 24 hours, of course. I mean, 24, let's add a few more extra hours onto the top of the pile there. But by tomorrow night, we'll know who's in which position. Golden gets the ball out. Long three. In it goes. That was top quality there from that man, Majok Deng.
And Deng does like to shoot the three. That's his 8th connection in the BAL. He is shooting it at about 36% from the three-point line.
Sam Kello down in the corner, biding his time, goes up for the shot, and it comes back off the metal, out. And Ben Alhaj been very active, been very present in the opening couple of minutes. And actually, not a second chance to get hold of the ball.
And this is actually a team that plays inside out, Al Ahly Libya. They get the ball into their bigs, they let them go to work, and we haven't even seen them go that way just yet. It's still early going in the game, and actually, first touch. And a good enough contest to get the ball pushed out of bounds.
Here is Golden. Golden in possession. Looks for someone. Picks out that man, Deng. Deng of South Sudan, of course. Put it in there. A big bucket there coming from Golden.
Well, it's Golden buckets for Trey as he hits one from the outside. And that's the third connection. And it's a significant lead. It might be time for Cape Town to call a timeout.
Well, that's the shot coming in from Ndoye. Draws a bit of attention, so they will get possession back. Let's have a look at this. This is the one. Well, Golden bringing all of that vast experience from being the highest scorer for 2 years in a row in China, of course, coming here for his first taste of the BAL. We'll talk about him a little bit more afterwards. It's 9-0 Al Ahly Libya.
And we are at a timeout that was called by the Cape Town Tigers. Score is 9-0. Al Ahly Libya is on fire from three-point land.
Hopefully, I mean, to be honest, I think that was a great, great decision from the coaching staff for the Cape Town Tigers. You don't want this game to get out of hand too early.
Because once it gets out of hand, it's
tough to come back from. But I really like it. Not completely out of hand right now. It's 9-0. Let's take a break. Let's take a breather. Let's not let this momentum take us through. Mm-hmm. Also, when you go down a couple of big shots, you get too antsy to try to retaliate with the same kind of shots.
And you're making the same mistakes.
Stay in your motion. Don't change the strategic planning and really, you know, tap in. So great call by the coaching staff. Hopefully it's able to, get the momentum going back for Cape Town.
I mean, for a team that barely made it to the BAL playoffs, starting off at 9-0 maybe is a testament to reason why it's living. But it's too early in the game for him to be cracking.
I'm going to come at him. I'm holding a shield for my boys. I'm just saying, we've seen games where teams have come back 17, 20 points.
Look, Mikey,
this is not a possible.
Mikey, I'm with you.
I'm not going to let you do this to my boys.
The Minnesota Timberwolves came back from over 20-point deficit at half court at the Denver Nuggets Stadium and were able to get back. But yeah, they just came back from the timeout. Let's get back to the BK Arena.
There from, big Coach shot. Flush is saying, guys, we need to move that ball and get our best option. There's a bit of, you could feel that they were a bit timid the way they started this game, the Cape Town Tigers, but he wants them to calm down, and it is just a normal game of basketball.
But Yedeng wasn't very timid with that three-pointer from downtown to get them off the ground. What a fine score that was. He goes up for another one. Oh! Drop it in! Deng with a double three!
I was about to say that he is a streaky scorer. Once he gets it going, he's confident. He is one of the most dangerous scorers in the Basketball Africa League.
That's fantastic. Play as well. Golden dropping it down into the path of Kevin Murphy. Fantastic attack and play.
Murphy finds space on the baseline and is able to elevate for an easy two.
Deng trying to drop the ball into the path of Sibanioni. Sibanioni celebrating his birthday today. That's a great score from the corner. Drop it in, make it count. Ndoye showing off. These are the new recruits.
Well, that's an excellent pass from Fella. He actually had some time and space, but he opted to give the big center his first bucket in the Basketball Africa League in the playoffs.
Comes out. Achuel off the metal, made safe. And good defensive rebound there coming from Diadeng, South Sudan. 22 years of age. He's one of the younger players in this Cape Town Tigers squad, but really good. That was a brilliant block there coming from Majok Deng, but they get the ball back. And Doi, put it in. Beautiful two, and it's a one-point game.
Well, he's showing signs of confidence. He's absolutely taking that with high belief. He's taking one on the baseline, taking one just inside the key there, and you can just see that he's got nothing but net, and he's got every reason to be confident when he takes that shot.
That was seriously good, wasn't it? Nicely done. Good drive through. Again, the pass there from Golden into the hands of Achuel. He delivers big time.
Attacking the rim is what Achuel does, and he gets his first two confidently.
BAL top scorer, of course, from the Nile Conference. That shot just not dropping for Deng. Looking to try and just extend his tally. He's up to six already.
And just interesting to see that the two additions for the Cape Town Tigers are the ones that have scored the 10 points for the South African champions here in this game.
Yeah, you've got Brian Bridgeforth as well, who's on the bench. Of course, we've seen him before playing for Stade Malien. When he gets onto the floor, we'll see exactly what he's capable of doing, but already pretty impressive. You're right, Asher.
But Diep Deng's got a history playing with the Cape Town Tigers. Has been with them in the road to the Basketball Africa League, so knows the team well, and they know him well as well.
Good opportunity here, Sam Kelly. Put it in! Dunk time from the big boy!
Supremely athletic, Sam Kelly. Hesitation dribble, it goes inside out, and he announces himself to the Basketball Africa League here in the playoffs.
You sometimes talk about posters. That was definitely a poster, Russia.
It is a great way for Tele to, you know, introduce himself here in the playoffs, but it's going to be a long evening here for both sides of the court.
It is going to be a long evening. You're absolutely right. You know what? We're barely a few minutes in, aren't we? And we're already, like, seeing a few things that are happening here big time. Here's Diarra just holding off that ever-dangerous Ben Alhaj, still in possession. That's a nice little fake and goes up, tries to use the glass, draws attention from Deng.
Well, that's a good aggressive take there by Sibanioni. And we look here, the the bounce, the punch. Tele, just fantastic, going down the court.
It's the way that he just got rid of Ben Alhaj. Look at the way, because he was like going outside. No, I'll go inside. I'm going to fool and trick him big time.
It was other than hesitation. It was more of a punch dribble, and he just sells the body. Defense gets up off him, and he gets the score.
Sensational. And Sidonioni going up to the charity line. Talked about his birthday, 26 today, of course. And, well, wouldn't it be great for him to celebrate with a win? You know, it's not a done deal against the second-best team from the Nile Conference in Ahli Libya.
Yeah, it would be a great birthday present for the Eastrand-born Watville in South Africa representing. So he's going to be trying to make sure that he gets himself a birthday present.
Plays for the South African national team as well. His Atchoil just cutting into the paint. He goes high over the chop, but he doesn't get the right fall. And you can see that it's Diadang picking it up down into the corner. Bridgeforth coming on for his first taste of Cape Town Tigers action in the BAL. Brilliantly done, Sibanyoni.
But that is actually all the pass. That's a great find from Dele. And Sibanyoni turns and is able to finish under a bit of pressure.
He's already top of the assists category, just in the way that he's managed to distribute the ball three or four times now. Dang goes up, doesn't get his range. Sankelo for a mid-range two, made safe there by Ben Alhaj.
Well, they have two dynamic scorers, both capable of averaging 20 a game, so how they distribute the ball will be interesting.
That's nicely done. Oh, drop it in. Big dunk there coming from Majok Dang. And at the other end is quick transition. Smooth as you like. Put it in there. Manyang, the man.
It's quick fire offense from both teams. Ding gives a little bit of a poster to birthday boy Sibanyoni, and back the other way, Manyang. He picks up his first two.
Yeah, I don't want Usher to get neck ache, because honestly, this is crazy, right?
Absolutely enjoying it, and obviously the South Sudanese presence here on the court. A lot of dominance from players from both sets of teams.
Well, that's been put in. Look at that, Dang. Unselfishness once again from Sankelo, just making that assist.
One thing that the Cape Town Tigers have done well, transition. They've able to get a turnover. And you look at the poster there from Dang, and you have a look at the pass from Murphy. That really makes that dunk possible for Dang. And you know what he does, dunks it close to the rim. But Cape Town Tigers have been great in transition and playing the willing passer.
And a timeout now has been called by Al Ahly Libya.
It's a flip in the timeout. Like, wow. Of course, you know, Cape Town called it at 9-0.
Score is 20 Cape Town Tigers, 17 Al Ahly Libya. Mikey has something to tell us
right
now.
Don't let even Mike speak right now.
Listen, the Tigers, I said this earlier on, we've seen so many games with teams that are down bad turn it around, and look at the Cape Town Tigers doing their thing right now.
Look at God.
20 points, they are up to 17. Ahly Libya were the favorites, but look at the Tigers, man. Yeah. Now, obviously, of course, the game's still far from over, but if they keep this momentum, who knows?
We shall see, gentlemen. The good thing about basketball is a game of runs. You know, shout out to both coaching staff for being able to understand to not let the momentum really carry over. So, you know, shout out to the Al Ahly Libya's coaching staff for calling a timeout to kind of slow down the Cape Town Tigers, as they are on a roll right now. They're just coming back from the timeout. So let's get back to the BK Arena.
Points, Al Ahly Libya, but he also wants them to stay focused and continue the rhythm that they had when they started the game. And now the introduction of Solo Diabate, who has come on to, you know, try and control the game.
Well, Solo Diabate, of course, two-time winner of the BAL with Zamalek and US Monastir. He knows a trick or trade, doesn't he, the Ivorian?
Having one of his best season in the four seasons, I think, just statistically and in terms of his minutes on the floor.
Well, they stolen the ball once again, going up, using the glass. There is contact. Well, there's frustration there coming from Deng as he, well, also comes up against Deng. It's a Deng combat taking place in the paint.
It's just a battle of athleticism, man. This is why Deng is so dangerous. You see his ability to hang in the air. Deng comes across it. I don't see contact from that particular shot that we got, but contact is called, and Diodeng will get a chance to go to the free throw line.
So Flo Seguenia there, looking quite relaxed in the way that he's actually seen his team come back into this, Asher. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I spoke to him before the game and really asked him, you know, how is he feeling? Is he ready for this game? He was, you know, relaxed. He's confident that his team has what it takes to come up against Al Ahli Libya, who some think are favorites going into this game. But that timeout earlier changed a lot of things for the team in terms of confidence, and you can see that with the way that Diu Deng is owning the team and sort of leading their offensive side.
Diu Deng has led them to victory in Road to the BAL Championships. He's a great point guard for them. He understands the culture of the team. He takes a break now, but he is very important for the Cape Town Tigers, and we've seen it just here in the first quarter. 10 points he goes to the bench with.
Listen, I've just been impressed so far, you know, with the way that he's marshaled and been leading, looking very, very sharp on the floor. Let's see exactly how this game pans out. But a very strong reaction from the Tigers. Diabate goes high, loves to go high off the glass, doesn't get the right angle there. Diarra picks it up.
Well, he's trying to just take a bit of a leadership role.
Long shot, just in and out, but made safe once again. That's an easy two. Well, it should have been an easy two there from Whitbread, just slightly overcooked with the force.
There may be some signs of some nerves there from Whitbread underneath the rim as he just blows an open opportunity. Maybe something that might come to bite them again a little bit later on, but you got to take those opportunities when they present themselves.
1:42 left in this first quarter. Riveting. It's been exciting just to see the, you know, the whole swing. You know, we're in the land of a thousand hills, but this has been undulating action, isn't it?
Up and down. it goes and it ebbs and flows. We talk about game of runs, and we've seen it. That 9-0 run to start from Al Ahli Libya, Cape Town's ability to fight back, and the fact that they hold on to this 4-point lead.
Into double figures, 5 points with the 10 points. The 10 points, first player who's got to double digits. Sola Diabate gets the ball out to Trey Golden. Is it the golden time that happens today? We'll find out at the final buzzer. But of course, both of these teams will play in the quarterfinals. We just don't know who they will play just yet. And that's what we're looking at. The reason why we've got these games beforehand.
This is team ranked seventh playing against the eighth ranked team in terms of the standings coming into this playoff battle.
Well, it's good work that is, you know, with the drive through to try and find a little bit of space there from Brian Bridgeforth.
Cape Town's version of going big, because Bridgeforth comes in, he's listed at about 6'10", alongside the 7-footer in Doi. So this is as big a front of court as we've seen from Cape Town throughout the years, and you'll see what an impact that has against the other two monsters on the side of Al Ahli Libya.
We have to go back to the days of Peter Prinsloo to see the same kind of bigs that were on the floor like this.
But I mean, he was, and that's the argument, is that he was a big, he was about 6'10", but they've never had a true center. This is the first time we're seeing them actually have a true center in terms of Ndoye.
No, he's colossal, isn't he? And he will have an important, you know, role to play here. 2.16 meters, of course, New Mexico State University, Austin Spurs, you know, a bit of experience, and that's great.
35 years old and, you know, listed at 115 kilograms. Can't just move a big frame like that.
As we see, Gait Al-Makaribi is also the player who's on it, but... One minute, 08 seconds to play. And Usher, you know Kigali and Rwanda better than anybody else in the world. Maybe besides the president. But, you know, it's become a hub of sport. It's fantastic.
Yes, it is really incredible to see people turning out. There's a huge basketball culture here in Rwanda. And even though there's no team from Rwanda that made it to the playoffs because the APR were unable to achieve that, the fans are out here. We're sold out today. And so many of the fans are leaving work and heading to the BK Arena.
Yeah, it's going to be... it's going to be fantastic, you know, all the way right through today, and hopefully for the next 10 days. It's going to be brilliant. So, excitement galore guaranteed with Al Ahli Egypt coming up a little bit later on, and they'll take on Fooster Abad, which is going to be a riveting showdown between the top two teams that have finished in the rankings out of the eight that have qualified.
And of course, the winner of this game will take on the loser of that game, and that's just the way that seedings and rankings work, and it will make for an interesting quarterfinal no matter which way it goes for both of the teams.
I just think that they're all fascinating, aren't they? And you know, when you get to this stage of the competition, anything can happen. Good day, bad day, injuries, whatever. Hopefully not injuries, but you know what I mean. It's one of those scenarios. Azrael picking the ball up, shot clock down to eight, does really well just to get that little soft touch to get it float over the top.
Straight determination there from Azrael. He goes right into the paint to pick up that 2 points.
Here's Diarra in possession. Bridgeforth with the just screening high. That's nicely done by Diarra. He just waits patiently before releasing the ball. Comes back out. Solo Diabate round the back to Golden. Hits a three.
Well, that's a golden moment because that beautiful pass from Diabate had Cape Town Daggers defense absolutely stagnant, and that's a great make from Golden.
20 seconds remaining here. Diarra goes into the paint. That's a good pass into the middle there, and the shot doesn't fall there for that man, Bridgeforth. Last chance, Saloon for points for Solo Diabate. He's going to go down, gets back in, and there's long-range shots, and that's the end of the first quarter. Listen, I don't think we could have asked for more from the first quarter of the playoffs here in Kigali for this fourth season. Golden shot going in there, lasered in beautifully. It's a 4-point lead for the Tigers. They lead Al Ahly Libya. We're going to take a break.
And that's the end of the first quarter. 25-21 for the Cape Town Tigers with a 4-point lead over Al Ahly Libya. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on the
switch and the momentum?
Talk to me about this first quarter,
starting
guys.
Starting off 9-0. Mike, don't look at me like that, bro.
Listen. I can't just smile at my
it
colleague,
was
bro.
9-0. Like last time I had interest in the game.
It was quick. That was quick.
Yeah, and that was 25 for Cape Town Tigers. They have been able to rally and get their, you know, act together.
To be honest with you, though, Jax, what it seems like to me is this is not the Cape Town Tiger of the conference. Yeah. Let's be real.
It's
like,
a different Cape
you know,
Town Tiger.
This is a different Cape Town Tiger with the energy that they're bringing in. Also, the key pieces. Deng coming in with his ball handling skills and just being able to create space and go one-on-one against his defender allows him to create space for other players. You know, you look at a player like Samkelo who's having more comfortability because he doesn't have to do too much. He can get into his pockets and score. But just all around fluidity coming from the entire team, you know, so shout out to them.
Yeah, I will say I'm really impressed. I thought that it would be a really tough time for them to play without, especially without their main player, BP.
Yep.
He was one of probably the most pivotal players throughout the whole conference. So right. I'm really impressed to see that they're still able to turn it around.
Yeah.
Of course, it was a little concerning initially when they were 9-0 down, but to see them turn around this performance, if they can keep this momentum, it would be good. But at the same time, you can see the Libyans are creeping up.
Yeah, no, they also had a little bit of momentum coming into it, able to kind of make that lead a little smaller, only down to 4 points. But yeah, this is a really good game. And I think if both teams continue to play the way that they're playing, it's going to be a dogfight until the end of the game. I don't know OT, but it's a possibility. But I just think that it seems like it's going to be tight. It's going to be a tight game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we love to see.
We love tight games for sure.
Back to the BK Arena for the second quarter.
So to try and find spaces in this Al Ahly Libya defense.
One thing they have done is outscore them in the paint, and that's not what you would have expected coming into this one. 10-8 in the first quarter.
Missed a few points, you know, sort of some of the mid-range shots. Atuel goes up. He scored a couple. That's a nicely done. Well, it was. It should have been nicely done. Rolls in. Great work with the rebound. That was top quality. And Al Ahly Libya find themselves very important points through
Hamad. Sufyan Ahmadi picks up those 2 points. The captain, he falls down to the ground, and it's an important 2 points just coming out of that break. Takes them back within two and gives an opportunity to get close.
Yeah, but it's key, and he gets the third as well, and that'll please Coach Sjermic, because he knows that you've got to keep Cape Town Tigers close to you, know, because they will try and feed off those stolen balls, the turnovers.
This is a game of small margins, and it's going to be interesting to see how these teams adapt in the second quarter.
Well, it's just poked away from Diarra, and at the other end, oh my word, flying off the side of the glass, picked up by Diarra, goes past Diabate. Brilliant score there from Diarra. He's absolutely on fire. Up to four he goes.
It was excellent use of his body, and he used his offhand. He's a left-handed player. He goes right into Diabate, who was trying to time him, but he gets a superb finish, and it's a good two again in transition for the Cape Town Tigers.
Diabate, Kevin Murphy picks it up, just tries to roll it, comes off the feet, and they will get possession back.
Tigers have done a really good job. You have a look. He gets right into the body of Diabate, takes him off balance, and then he finishes with that right hand.
But he's good under the pressure, off balance. He looks really, really strong in the air. You know, he just flies in, coasts in, and still delivers. And, you know, there's an art to that, Q.
Yeah, he's 12.8 points per game. He was second most minutes for the Cape Town Tigers for a reason. And they force another turnover.
Yeah, and those are the little frustrating moments, because Solo Diabate with Achuel, they're going, guys, you know, we didn't read the situation in the same way. We're not on the same page. Those little things will annoy Coach Sjermic, because he knows that you've got to get them right.
You have to look at it as every possession being precious. As I know that it's a cliche, but it's in high-stakes basketball, it matters even more.
Diarra down in the corner. Picked up. Manyang goes for a long-range shot under a little bit of pressure from the big frame of Al Maghribi, the big forward.
Noor Manyang, 30-year-old out of South Sudan. We saw patches of great shooting from him. He had one outstanding game where he scored 20 points against Petro de Luanda, and he hit 5 of 7, so he is capable of making those shots from outside.
Down into the corner is the attempted turn, twist around to try and find his path there, Murphy, and they get the ball back on the sideline.
Haven't seen too much of Murphy. He hasn't had many touches of the basketball. He scored only 2 points so far, and you expect a little bit more usage from a guy who averages around 19 or 18 points a game for Al Ahly Libya.
And I think on the other side, you want to see Ndoye get very much involved, you know, in all of the dirty stuff that you used to do when you were playing, you know, in the paint.
What are you talking about?
No, I mean, just getting physical, you know, your physical presence and making life very complicated for anybody to just, you know, weave and slalom in, you know, to score freely.
The benefit of having a large frame and a paint protector inside.
This is where you're defending yourself. I love it. Go on, carry on.
He's going to go around tackles.
Well, that's a good score from Al Ahly, of course, as you see that man, the ever dangerous Kevin Murphy, producing the goods once again. You're absolutely right. Go round. 1 point lead, Tigers. 8 points, 8 minutes remaining here in the second quarter. Long range shot going. He's up and at it again. Jadeng charging through. He's just constant, but on that occasion he does draw attention, and it's a defensive foul. He'll go to the free throw line. Just, and it's Diarra who just goes in. He's got a second foul there, which is a bit of a concern. Might have to go and take a little break maybe.
Well, this is the other side, so it's a matchup, and you see what Solo Diabate can do. He gets right into the body of Diarra this time, except that he draws the foul and he gets a chance to go to that charity strike.
But he's so dangerous like that. I mean, you know, Solo Diabate, we know that he wriggles around. There's Dylan Whitbread coming on to replace Diarra momentarily. But, you know, Solo Diabate is just like a... He wriggles around. He'll tease you. He'll provoke you into either committing a foul, and he'll score the basket 9 times out of 10 as well.
He's an experienced player, 36 years old. He's played across multiple continents, and he's led the Cote d'Ivoire at the international level. You need to understand that he knows what's happening on the basketball court, yeah. And he'll figure out ways to provide value, and that's why he's so coveted by teams in the Basketball Africa League.
Yeah, we I had a little chat with him beforehand. He's he had that little injury, the calf muscle injury, up in the Nile Conference, of course. And but he's behind that now, and he's in a good place. So which is great news. Long range shot coming in. The long range shot, and Whitbread unable to get hold of the ball, and it will be Alali Lipia who have that.
The referees are paying close attention to the off-the-ball stuff that's happening. It's quite physical inside there. The shot comes in, and you see the battle between Murphy and Whitbread, and Whitbread getting his arms right into the back of Murphy. You'll see that. It's part of the game of basketball. It is the contact situation. At that time, he'll pick up the foul.
And well, talking about referees, let's introduce the ones on the court right now. Pat O'Connell from the USA, Kingsley Ojeburu from Nigeria, and Joyce Muchenu from Zimbabwe.
Thank you, Asha. Absolutely. And another call, and Murphy goes straight up to the free throw line. Once again, he's on 4 points. Numerous points scattered across the Alali Lipia team, whereas quite similar scenario for the Cape Town Tigers, of course, but Murphy goes up and looks to try and add to his tally of four.
Cape Town Tigers really in foul trouble early with less than 3 minutes played in this second quarter. Of course, frustration there for Diarra. He's on the bench. He already has 2 personal fouls. And you wonder how that will play in the general grand scheme of things in this game.
That's a good point. And, you know, we just need to keep an eye on that. They need to keep an eye on it more so than us.
Well, part of the reason that Yu Deng is brought in here is to shore up that ball, the ball handler position and primary ball handler, and he might have to play a little bit more.
It's a shot that just goes over the top, and Dory looking to try and add to his 4-point tally, just not falling. So Lodiabate down in the corner this time, right over into the corner. That's a nice little touch just to get in the way, and it is of course the birthday boy Sibanioni.
Cape Town Tigers look like they're trying to throw different looks at this Alali Lipia team, and maybe switching up some of the matchups as well on the defensive end.
Diabate. Dango's driving through. Well, that's a good score, and he draws the foul. So this could be a 3-point play. And they're taking full advantage of, like you said, Asha, the fact that there are 5 team fouls. And of course, Alali, they haven't got 1 single foul. So it's a favored situation.
It allows them to be more aggressive, and what it means for the Cape Town Tigers is that they have to try and temper their aggression defensively. They're going to have to play a little bit smarter, because it's Alali Lipia team. They can shoot the ball well from the charity stripe, and it's helping them create some separation.
Nicely done. It's dropped into the hands of Whitbread. Whitbread for three. Goes over the other side and back into the safe hands of Solo Diabate. But they've also scored points on 11 fast break points coming into this second quarter. And they're the points that they've actually managed to pinch, steal, or create some kind of a skullduggery to snatch possession back. Murphy rolls out. Sibanioni makes it safe. And Deng takes it up into foreign territory. Shot clock down to 9. Diodeng goes himself. Well, there's a bit of contact, but Murphy touches the ball and gets it away from him. That's really good work, but the big unable to rise up. And Joy tries to keep possession in, does a sterling job, and it comes back out Murphy. And how about that? That was very lackluster from Ndoye.
That's just giving away possession, and it was really great work there from Al Maghribi. Caught Ndoye unawares, and Kevin Murphy just makes them pay from the elbow. That's how you take advantage of a turnover.
Yeah, but they got a 6-point lead, so they have to make a difference. Dang, up to 13. Massive 3-pointer from downtown.
The good and the bad thing about Yu Deng is the shot selection. Sometimes it just falls because he can get red hot, and right now he should ride the streak.
Usher, roasting hot shooting there from Deng.
Incredible from Deng. He is able to express himself from beyond the perimeter, and that's exactly why they signed him, the Cape Town Tigers. It takes so much pressure off of Samkelo Tele, who was really their leading scorer in the Kalahari Conference, and that's really good because it gives them options. But now they'll have to go for size as Bridgeforth tries to come on for Ndoye.
Yeah, and Doig has given away possession down in the corner there, and I don't know, it's, you know, he needs to just reset, I think, you know, and come back out, getting his first taste of the BAL. You know, it's a new league that you've got to adapt to, and if you haven't played in the BAL before, you've got to make those adjustments and understand just how fast and furious it can be.
They talk about welcome to the BAL moments. They can come in different guises, and that is a welcome to the BAL moment for Ndoye. You can't relax, and he'll take a breather, and Manyang is going to come in his place.
Listen, he'll get all the support he needs, and I'm sure that he'll get the assistance and the advice to understand, you know, what kind of adjustments he needs to make to get back onto the court. Thirty-five minutes remaining. They've got to use the clock. They've got to be smart. They've got to be aggressive, but not over-aggressive. Golden is back on. Nicely done. Sam Kello Manyang for a shot just on the edge of the arc. Doesn't drop. Golden to the path of Murphy, and it's gone now to play. That's good work from Whitbread. He just shadowed him.
Right into the passing lane. Whitbread does a good job of getting a hand on, and he'll secure possession for the Cape Town Tigers. We're going to see a timeout.
Yeah, 34-30, LLE Libya lead. We're going to take a small break.
Basketball Africa League playoff coverage here on the Voice of America. Al Ahly going at it with Cape Town Tigers. Al Ahly up 34-30. Cape Town Tigers staying in the game. Mikey, talk to me.
I knew you were going to do this. Nah, man, listen, it's still a competitive game. Cape Town Tigers, you know, throughout the whole conference or the whole broadcast, we've been talking about depth, right? And it's showing that Cape Town Tigers don't really have that much depth right now. I know Cartier is out right now. He's got a lot of fouls to his name. So that's probably something that's affecting their performance. But listen, man, it's still a long game to go.
Yeah, I definitely think that because of the foul trouble that Cape Town has gotten themselves into, it has really taken away from their momentum, right? And Al Ahly has now realized, like, there isn't that many bigs or big players that are clogging up the paint. So let's just keep taking it to them. Because initially, Al Ahly's game plan was shooting the three ball, right? Yes. A lot. But they realized when you shoot the three ball, A, you're losing out on your possession really fast. And then B, you're not getting the other team in foul trouble because there's no physicality aspect. So now they've been taking it to them, driving in and making sure that, you know, Cape Town feels them. And because of that, now you get a guy like Cartier, who's now one of the best momentum builders for Cape Town, sitting on the bench because he has two early fouls.
Yeah.
So they've played really well with the hand that they've been dealt, but, you know, I'm really liking the adjustments that Cape Town is also making. Only 4-point game.
It's still, it comes down to coaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that means they're down just four games. It's still, the game is still young, so to say.
Yep.
And, you know, who knows? You guys were predicting an overtime. We might get one. But it's, you know, it's an exciting game. It's a playoff caliber type of game. Let's go back to Kigali.
Well, just listening in to Coach Ivan Yeremic, he's really concerned that Al Ahly Libya are not using the fact that the Cape Town Tigers are in foul trouble. He says for the remaining time in this quarter, they need to attack the paint and also be patient because the Cape Town Tigers are playing a zone.
Got to be super careful, but they are taking full advantage, aren't they? Whitbread tries to fling it back out. It's a good opportunity here. Sankello step back attempt. And the ball doesn't manage to get picked up by Sibanioni. That's a wild pass, but it's a beautiful pass. Look at that from Murphy. Oh, little tip in. No, no, no. It's nearly in, but it's not good enough. Picked up by Murphy. Murphy goes again. And there's contact there, and I think it's Whitbread or Murphy.
Well, they've got to reward themselves defensively, Cape Town. They do a good job of on the contest there. You have a look at Tele, who just has not found his range yet. And this is Solo Diabate getting into the passing lane. And he's still got legs, can still get up. He just drops it in.
Boom. There it is.
That was more like a swish.
It was. It was, yeah, you're quite right there. I think you you nailed it. A 6-point lead. They're going to take advantage of this, aren't they? 3:49. You can just see that every single phase of play, all they need to do, because, well, They've only got one player who's on two fouls. That is that man, Deng, of course. But still, they're in such a good position there. You know, this is like having a joker in the pack and sort of, you know, saying this is what we can do. As we see, that pass there was out of this world. Brilliant pass there to fling it down into the path of Murphy.
And again, you see the contest, the ball doesn't go in. They don't pick up the rebound. And now it's an eight-point game, and it's danger time for Cape Town Tigers.
And we, you know, we've underlined just how important Solo Diabate is on in every department. Just look at that, stealing the ball, lays it up, 2 points in the bag, and now they lead by 10. But it's his assists as well that makes him so special. He's got the full selection of play, isn't he?
It's a lesson on how to create value on the defensive end. Diarra, wow.
That was really nicely done, wasn't he? Now that's going to be an easy two for him. But he's got a good set of skills as well, hasn't he, Cartier Diarra? And a great name.
His name is it rolls off the tongue, and it's got different meanings. It's like, okay, I'm not getting into this. I'm going to go down the path.
Where are you going with this, Q? Come on.
No idea.
No idea. It's an 8-point lead. Oh, big bucket, golden hour again.
Introduced to this team, and we're starting to understand why. And another 3-pointer falls down for Trey Golden.
Well, we had Pappy Jackson, of course, the player who he came in to replace. And there's Sam Kello going up for a big long-range shot. The ball comes back out nicely, picked up by Sibanioni. Whipred into Sibanioni. Dunk it is underneath the rim.
The Tigers look so much better when they make an extra pass. The feed inside from Whitbread and Sibanioni. That's his own birthday present as he gets a dunk in this very important clash.
I know someone who's gone for the 3 points, though. Her name's Usher. She would have definitely gone for that, surely.
Just to show off a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit of showboating.
A little bit.
Foul committed on Semkelo. And it's the first foul, in fact, for Alali Libya, first team foul in this quarter. Just gives you an idea of where they're at. And you know, to avoid fouling, you know, in a quarter until the last couple of minutes is a pretty amazing feat.
They have to be respectful of their situation, and it doesn't allow them to be as aggressive. All they can do is try and contest without fouling.
Semkelo just coming back, trying to use the glass. Doesn't manage to get the points. Golden has it. Bides his time. No rush, but he likes to swing it back out. Murphy for a mid-two. On fire once again. Murphy up to double figures, 11.
Spoke about him trying to find his offense and being more high usage. He's got 9 points here in the second quarter, and it's just been trying to find his offense. He hasn't forced his offense.
First player into double figures is Diarra. Diarra looking for the bigs, and Doy's come back on and goes on a little bit of a rampaging run. Didn't manage to get the score there, but the foul's been committed, and he'll go to the free throw line, which is positive.
Again, you look at the skill set of Cartier Diarra. He's got an array in his offensive bag. It doesn't fall down. He goes with the offhand, but a chance to go to the free throw line.
The great thing is that I'm seeing a different side of Cartier Diarra that we didn't really see down in the Kalahari Conference. He's been given, like, you know, the floor to play a little bit more. He's got a more responsibility in that role, and he looks good with the ball in hand.
He's the primary playmaker. You've got two guys who can really shoot and score the ball in terms of Samkelo Kele and Diodeng. Kele goes off. Manyang will come in. And it's been interesting to see how they try and figure out rotations here, the Cape Town Tigers. They've unlocked it at certain points, but I don't think they've quite understood or unlocked a rotation that gives them the kind of success they want on the floor.
I'm loving this South Sudan connection, of course. We've got a few as the big long-range shot goes up, and it made safe by Sibanioni, picked up by Deng. We've, of course, got Majok Deng. We've got Achuil. And then, and of course, on the other side, we've got Diodeng. Look at that big shot. 3 points. In it goes. And that is just top quality. Manyang's the man.
Well, it finally finds his touch from the three-point line. A nice find, an excellent pass from Ndoye.
4 out of 10, 4 of 15. 1 minute remaining in this first half, 45-39. They chopped it down, the lead, but they still need to thwart, and they get possession back. And that is a strong statement there from the Cape Town Tigers.
That's a great example of just contesting without fouling, and he forces Murphy into the clear out, and the referee is right there to make the call. Murphy unhappy, but he's going to have to take the call and get on back. That's the 13th foul for Alasi Libya.
It's a continued frustration there from Kevin Murphy, because on the other side he tried to play defense against Manyang. He scored that three-pointer, goes on the other end and fouls, but he'll have to, you know, keep his head up and be a big boy.
That was a great sell from Sibagnoni. You had a look at that replay.
Yeah, it's important. Diarra trying to find a way. Well, he wasn't going for the shot. Diarra trying to say he wants to go to the free throw line. He wasn't going anywhere near the shot. No way. Three as well.
one foul away. One foul away from the team foul situation. So 47 seconds. I don't think they get them into team fouls, or perhaps they might.
We'll see. At the moment, it's just the Tigers in possession, and they got a six-point lead. It doesn't fall. It's been made safe by that man, Ben Nalhaj. Diabate coasting down into foreign territory. Deng picks it up. Here's Murphy. Murphy just inside of the arc. Goes for two. The two off the front of the rim. Picked up by Deng. That's a good pass to Diarra. Diarra trying to get rid of his man. Swings it out. Manyang for three. Oh! Finally it goes in. It was all about butterfingers, and I think that's Ndoye getting the points. Maybe not. Yes, it is.
I actually think that it came off one of the LLE players, but Ndoye will get credited with the basket nonetheless. The Cape Town Tigers, they're back in this one. And you see the miss from... And it was... I think it came off Deng. But Ndoye closest, so he'll get the two buckets. He'll get the 2 points.
It's a four-point lead, and they chopped that down because it was at 10 points at one point. And... well, that scenario just taken right away from them. And, of course, Ivan Djamic, the coach in charge of Al-Ahli Libya, will be happy that that they've got a moment to just work things out a little bit. But there's only 13.2 seconds remaining.
Try to get a score to go into halftime, extended, maybe past two possessions. Important for Al-Ahli Libya. They created a 10-point deficit, 10-point gap, but Cape Town Tigers have fought their way back. Some really good individual offense from Dude Deng. We've seen Kadia Diarra come to the fore, 37% from the field. Still feel that they might have relied on the three-point shot a little too much as they go 4-for-16 from the outside. They have shared the ball well. They look great when they share the ball. On the other side, Al-Ahli Libya, their primary scorer, Murphy, 11 points, and he's done a lot better in the second quarter alongside Deng inside the paint. And we've seen flashes from Trey Golden in terms of his scoring ability.
Well, you talk about sharing that ball. That's exactly what Coach Flush is talking about. He wants them to continue to share that ball, get those options in, but he wants them to rebound. Once they get the rebound, then they can, you know, give themselves an option on that possession and maybe close out this 4-point difference before they go into the halftime break.
Well, it's not as if they haven't got any big boys on the floor, the Tigers, so they've got a good chance of getting the rebounds. Let's see where they go with this. It's the last play, potentially. Golden goes up and delivers the 2 points. They want to get a quick shot in, and there's a great opportunity here. Goes up, and it doesn't fall, and it will finish with a 6-point lead for Al-Ahli Libya going into halftime. They lead the Cape Town Tigers. Time for a break. Highlights coming up very shortly.
It's 47-41. Al-Ahli leading by 6 points. The first game of the Basketball Africa League Season 4 playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. Cape Town trailing. They started off really behind the first couple of minutes, like the first minute or two. They were down by 9 points. They were able to rally back, thanks to some great coaching, taking timeouts when necessary. And now they're down by just 6 points. But still, you see, Libya is a tough cookie to crack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. From what we're seeing is this has been a game of runs already where they have had multiple lead changes. Cape Town has gone up. Al-Ahli has gone up. Vice versa. The leads at one point for Al-Ahli may have extended in double digits. I believe it was 10 plus at one point, if not 11. Cape Town was able to bring it down to about 4. to about five right before this initial timeout was just called. And now we have a six-point lead for Al Ahli Libya, 47-41 to Cape Town Tigers. Jax, what's been your thoughts on the adjustments that the teams have been making so far?
I like the coaching in terms of how they have adjusted, because sometimes you find that, you know, your team is just getting into this like lull where they're continuing to make the same, you know, trying to make the same points, shooting from the three. And then if you're a good coach, you know, call timeout, tell them to adjust, because you cannot continue on a losing track like
right.
that.
Right.
But Cape Town Tigers, and we've seen that, you know, the coach has been able to call a couple of timeouts when the players are not really, like, you know, playing to
their standard. Right.
Yeah.
To me, if I'm looking at it, I'm seeing that just some light stats, if we're looking at it, 47% field goal percentage for Al Ahli in comparison to 37% for Cape Town, meaning that they're just shooting it more efficiently. You know, 9 assists to 10 assists, so relatively close in how involved both teams are getting each other. 4 steals to 5 steals in favor of Cape Town, meaning that Cape Town have quick hands and are playing defense in order to make sure the game doesn't get too far out of hand.
Yeah.
But both teams have been really bad from the three-point line.
Yeah.
4 for 10 for Al Ahli. I'd say 40% is not extremely bad, but 4 for 16 for Cape Town. You know, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, you're shooting the three-pointer at a high clip, but it's really not
it's not getting down. Yeah.
So you have to readjust and make sure, you know, you get in the paint and get higher.
Start driving
higher
in.
Higher efficient. Yeah.
Move the ball around.
Start getting some free throws
yes.
in as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In case you're just joining us, this is the Basketball Africa League coverage of the playoffs. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm joined by Mark Bill Yabaro and Mike Hovey. Season 4 playoff featuring a thrilling showdown between the Cape Town Tigers and Al Ahli of Libya. This marks the first ever encounter between these two teams, which sets the stage for an exciting start for the classification round that will determine the quarterfinal fixtures. Both teams are eager to make a strong impression, as we can see. Cape Town Tigers, which struggled early on, now just trailing by 6 points. There were two of the best third place teams from across the three conferences. Mikey, Cape Town Tigers, they are in it. I thought they would be trailing like by at least 12 points.
Yeah,
I'm
man,
not kidding.
They're pulling their weight. They're pulling their weight. As Mark Bill highlighted earlier on, I think now it comes down to better shot selection, because their field goal percentage is not as efficient as their Libyan counterparts. And so I think better shot percentage and, of course, less fouls. I think the fouls is another thing that's impacting them, because they're losing out on a lot of important players that they need on the court. So those two things put together, and I'm sure the South Africans can turn it around for themselves.
Absolutely. As the first quarter progresses, Al Ahli Libya quickly established a rhythm, leveraging their balanced offense and cohesive team play to build a six-point lead. They have kind of a disciplined approach on both ends of the floor. They are executing their game plan with precision, perimeter shooting and guarding, interior guarding has kept the Tigers on their heels. And, you know, my guys here had projected some sort of overtime. I feel like it's an over projection, if you ask me.
But the interesting thing about it is, though, Jax, is like, every couple of minutes in both these quarters, the game looks like a completely different game. Al Ahli will go for a run and be up by 11 points, and then Cape Town comes back and then takes over a lead.
Cape Town Tigers are not backing down.
Right. So, you know, it could either be a blowout in the third quarter, or this could go to OT. So absolutely, we'll see. Hopefully, absolutely, it's a tight absolutely third quarter for us so that, absolutely, you know, we can still keep and stay engaged. But I know both teams are going to come out. Al Ahly is going to try to extend that 6-point lead, and Cape Town is going to try to, you know, regain control
steadily
of this game.
Steadily working to close that gap. We've seen some aggressive defense and fast break opportunities that have yielded some results for the Tigers. And I feel like the difference maker here has been the coaching, where the coach has been to able to stop the game when he feels like his players are kind of, you know, not following the game plan, and, you know, call the house to order. Maybe weep some of them into their senses, like, what are you doing out here? Al Ahly is holding a 6-point advantage, and, you know, the Cape Town Tigers are facing a challenge of tightening their defense and finding more efficient scoring options. Both teams, I see, understand the opponents of this game in setting the tone for the playoffs and securing a favorable position in the quarterfinals. So, you know, today is the first day of the playoffs. Today's Friday. Tomorrow will be second game. The second game, actually, we are going to be bringing you the game between FUS Rabat and Al Ahly of Egypt, the current champions, or the holders of the trophy for the BAL. They won BAL Season 3, I believe.
Yes, sir.
That will be a great game to watch. Both teams are formidable. They led their conferences in the Kalahari and in the Nile Conference. So they will be trying to, like, you know, master their way to the top.
Right. We're the top team.
We're the top team. You want to stay in conversation, and when they're talking about you, they should be worried or scared when they even mention your name. And that's what FUS Rabat is trying to, as a debutant team, will try to do, which is what Al Ahly Libya is doing right now. When they're, you know, with this, I don't want to call it a beatdown on Cape Town Tigers.
It's only 6 points.
It's only six points. But they're playing far better basketball than the Tigers.
If I'm looking at it, Cape Town Tigers, to me, I feel like what the coaching staff have to do is let the Cape Town Tigers, let the team know, look, the most successful that we've been is when we've got the ball moving. You know, fast break points. If we're looking at fast break points, the Cape Town Tigers have 13 points off of fast breaks, right? In comparison to only 4 points from Al Ahly Libya. Meaning, Al Ahly's main game is when the offense is settled, they slow the pace of the game down. Whereas Cape Town got to keep it moving. If they're fluid and they're moving their hands on defense, and they're able to make it move really fast, that is when they are at their best. So,
absolutely,
you know, make sure that you guys, you know, moving. They have really athletic guards. They have long wingmen. They have the personnel to make it difficult for Al Ahly. But if you slow the game down to Al Ahly's pace, they will pick you apart.
If you play their game, they will be losing.
Absolutely. So you have to play your game, come out with that high intensity, keep running. And it'll turn itself around. Six points, really, as we know, is nothing.
I mean, it's not. It's not much. The one guy that we're not seeing, I don't know what happened to him, is Papi PL Jackson. I remember he had that injury in the first game that we covered in the conferences. I don't know what that continued. Sometimes the pressure of these games, like yesterday when I was talking to Will Perry of the Rivers Hoopers, I asked him about that game that he missed. It wasn't a very, very critical game, but, you know, he missed the game, and
that's
we could
the game
tell
that they lost.
Yes, and you could tell that, you know, there's a difference in the presence. His presence was missed on the court, and he told me he had back spasms, the pressure of having to play every day. You know, you play for how many, 40 minutes nonstop, especially if you're like a pivotal player like him. That will have its toll on you, and it finally did. And maybe that's what is happening to PL Jackson. Again, many of these quote-unquote journeymen are not the youngest fellas in the league. They, you know, some of them were playing in the NBA in 2012, 2011. I'm not saying whatever anything about their age. I'm just saying that they might not be, you know, like I'm looking at one guy here was born in 2006. That means like 17, 18. And another guy who I think Majorque was born in 1993. He's 30 years old.
Yeah.
So you can tell.
Yeah, Pierre's about 30. He's about 33 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he, like you said, he did his time in the NBA as well as a plethora of leagues in Europe. He was, you know, played in Israel as well in those leagues out there. He has, like you said, has had his experience all over the world playing the beautiful game of basketball.
Basketball years are like dog years, my friend.
They take so much out of you,
I'm
man.
I'm telling you.
I can only imagine, you know, we all play recreationally, and sometimes you play one game
and you feel it.
You feel it for days to come. So I can only imagine back-to-back games. So I always applaud these athletes, man. This stuff is not easy.
Able to maintain years.
Look at LeBron.
Yeah, look at LeBron,
That just doesn't make any sense. Man, sometimes they're gonna do a study on the cyborg.
Exactly.
LeBron, I don't know if LeBron's part human, part AI right now.
The pedigree of these people
insane,
is just like amazing.
Man. Yeah.
But you know, on the continent, as we know, Africa being the youngest continent, we have a couple of young LeBrons that are in the making, or they're waiting for their opportunity. Now that basketball, there's been an interest in NBA and other private sector players to invest in the infrastructure around the continent, we'll see so many of these young people get interested in the game. And maybe in a couple of years, right now, the NBA is being dominated by foreigners.
Right.
You never know.
Right. And the foreigners could be Africans.
Exactly. Foreigners could be Africans.
Right. And to be honest with you, the Africans have had their imprint on the game already
for years.
You know,
correct.
Last year's MVP was, you know, Cameroonian, Joel Embiid.
Yes.
You know, years past, you know, finals MVP and two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, Nigerian roots. You know,
y'all are forgetting the big man. No.
Dikembe Mutombo.
No.
Hakeem Olajuwon, the
dream.
Come on. So,
yes.
Like, they've been there. And even in the playoffs this year, we have Pascal Siakam for Indiana.
Yes.
He's been playing really, really well for Indiana
Siakam
as well.
One of the best moves he's made
to go to Indiana.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know how that team would work out, but it's really looking really good for them.
Especially for it has really worked out for him.
Him
some of these players have these individual styles that fit in some teams and don't work with others.
Yeah.
And
but the Pacers are a very selfless team, right? Like, even though their leader, Tyrese Halliburton, is somebody who led the league in assists this year while still averaging a double-double, you know? So, you know, you have a guy like that who's able to get everybody else involved first and foremost. You'd love to play for a guy like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Somebody who feeds you the ball.
Yeah, give me the ball, brother. I'm okay with that. Who say no to that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We see the players have returned on the court in Kigali, the BK Arena. Not so many people inside the arena. That could be a function of the fact that there is no local team representing Rwanda today. I mean, in the playoffs this year, the team, the APR, lost out in the conference matchup. They were in the Sahara Conference and they did not make it. Guys, we're right. They were in Sahara Conference. There's so many conferences. Sometimes it's hard to tell which team.
But listen, in their defense, that was probably the most competitive conference.
Absolutely true. They had no debutant teams.
There were no debutants.
Yeah.
Probably two or four had been finalists.
Yes.
It was a really...
And we saw some overtime games for the first time.
Yeah,
we had a first overtime and then a first double overtime. So you're right, Mike. It was so competitive. But still does not take off from the fact that we don't have a home team representing, and that will affect turnout and even the mood and energy of you know, the local fan base, because that is what energizes the players when they're on the court. To see people just like cheering you on, shouting drums. You remember the colorful, you know, a crowd in Dakar when they were, you know, pushing on Esduwan. We would have loved to see that in Kigali right now.
I wonder, Jax, are there any Rwandan players still in the tournament?
Do not think so. I've not seen any players that are playing in the playoffs, whether, you know, for any other team.
Okay.
Most of them were playing for Rwanda. But let's go back into Yeah, we're about to go back to
BK Arena.
Yeah.
Second place teams in the conference, that Deng opens up and he gets up 15 points.
Strong starts, big statement that is, getting first points, back to 4 points the lead as Golden goes around the outside, looks for options, drops it into the path of that big man Achuel, and there's the tussle and the hustle. Great work there to keep possession. Look at that from Sibanioni, doing a brilliant job. Sam Kello drives through into the paint, gets tangled up by Murphy, and Murphy will get another foul onto his count. That'll be his second.
And they may try and do what happened to them in terms of attacking the paint. See if they can't get El Ahly into a little bit of foul trouble. That aggression can pay off. As you see, Murphy, Ben Alaj, Deng, and Achuel, the same starting five, come out for Coach Yeremich.
Well, Q, you talked about Sam Kello being the second primary offensive player for the Cape Town Tigers. He's come out of the dressing room very aggressive, and that's exactly who he is character-wise.
Yeah, he's a warrior, isn't he, at the end of the day, and we know exactly what he's capable of doing. We know him personally as well, and we know that what he brings to his team is nothing short of 150%.
Well, he's got to be aggressive for the Tigers, but... So we will see some aggression countered on the other side from El Ahly Libya.
And Murphy cuts inside. It's swatted away. Ndoye with a block. That's a brilliant block, that is, as Diarra picks it up. Going right through the middle. Dropped and dumped in there by Sibanioni.
That's a big part of Kadir Diarra's game. It's the pass that threads in between the defense. And he finds Sibanioni, who finishes with that right-hand dunk.
Two scores immediately there as the ball goes out. Like, with Trey Golden producing there, that's a fine score indeed. He's up to 12.
These teams have got some really great scorers, some great individual athletes. And Golden gets inside now, showcasing a little bit more of what his ability looks like.
Deng. Trying to go up. He tries to flow in over the top. Maybe, oh, he's a little bit fortunate to... No, they're going to lose possession. I think he touched the ball last, but he did get a second chance.
Another look at the work there from Murphy and the block from Doi. The pass here from Diarra, it just threads in between that defense. Excellent.
Sam Kello doing the business. That's great defensive play. They just completely enveloped him and prevented him from doing absolutely anything with that. That's how they should, you know, try and deal with... They put the clamp on Murphy.
Doi has been just... His size alone and his ability to block a shot has been so beneficial for the Tigers inside the paint.
Diarra gets the ball back out. Deng back into Sam Kello. Swatted away there and by Murphy. Just getting himself back into the scenario. And that's wonderfully done, isn't it, from Murphy?
We've seen it a couple of times. He's waiting for Sam Kello to show the ball. And whenever he does, he knocks it right out of his hand.
Sam Kello in the corner. Waits for a little bit of... help. Fall back two. Nicely done there from that man who's providing his team with some great scoring there. Beautifully finished off. 5 points for him.
Only his second field goal, and that's his 10th attempt from the field.
Good pressure there coming in from Diarra on Golden, picked up by Murphy. Murphy, he's being tightly marked there by Sam Kello, and the ball comes back. And as it's dropped over the top, and it comes back off the glass, made safe. And there's Achuel, and the rebound being made there by that man, Sibanioni. Sam Kello with an easy, Deng with an easy two there. Ball floated into his path perfectly.
Again, some great scoring there for Sam Kello Tele, and he comes alive in the second half here for the Cape Town Tigers.
And they move a point ahead, 49-50, 7-13. We're going to take a break.
And we're coming off of a timeout with a flurry from the Cape Town Tigers.
Yo, this is going to OT.
50-49. Al Ahly had to call a timeout to slow them down. Cape Town is firing on all cylinders. Mikey,
yeah,
how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. No. Jokes aside, this is a really good game. This is I like the temperature that they're setting for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because this is saying a lot for me. If these two teams, one debutante and arguably the underdogs of the playoffs are playing like this. I can only imagine what it's going to look like when big teams have to play each other. So this is a really good way to start off the playoffs. I'm happy that Cape Town Tigers are pulling their weight. I can easily see this game going to OT. The way that they're pulling, trading, it's like, what I said the last time, Jackson, it's like a slap contest. Yeah. Like, one slaps, the next one's like, all right, this is my cheek, you slap. You know what I mean? And I like that. This is showing that, you know, quality on the back.
Absolutely.
On
we love to see that. You know, switching the lead, mm-hmm. that means that one team is not dominating the other,
yeah.
one way or another, and also shows that in terms of coaching, the coach realizes, you know, my guys are down, let me stop the game, have a chat, we've read the game, we're reading the other side, what they're doing.
And I like how they're using the timeouts.
Yeah,
right, right.
You can tell that when the temperature's getting too hot, it's like, whoa, timeout. And they use it effectively.
But
this
also shows you the progress in BAL as well. Season yeah. one, we used to see like coaches just letting it go. Yep. So even the quality of the coaches have improved. But yeah, let's get back to it. Coming off of that timeout, third quarter, 7:07.
Really a lot of emphasis on the need to play as a team. We want them to play together, move that ball around, play together on defense and communicate. He feels like there's a dip in energy in that opening 4 minutes of the game, but he knows that they can turn things around.
Well, this is two very slick pieces of play there. Firstly, the pass there from Golden directly into the path of Majok Deng for that easy two, and then they just made a turnover as well.
And directly out of the timeout, you see the ball moving, the floor spacing a little bit better. Three fouls there for Tele. He's going to have to be careful in this third quarter.
One foul each. We'll keep an eye on that as well as Golden goes in, gets it out to Achuel, who drives through. Look at that. That is sensational there from Ndoye. How about that for a massive statement?
He's had a definite defensive impact for the Cape Town Tigers inside the paint. Achuel is not an easy cover. And again, he comes across and affects the block.
God, it's massive, isn't it? Picked up by Deng. Shot clock down to six. Golden going for three. Oh, wow. Golden bucket score there.
It's like he's been playing in Kigali for a long time. He's just so comfortable on the catch and shoot, and he continues to shoot at high efficiency.
Moving up to 15 points. The attempted two there from Sam Kello doesn't fall and is put into the path. Actual goes up. Oh, it's easily put in. His height enables him to finish it quite comfortably.
And he can get downhill in a hurry ahead of everyone. Rim running a little bit and finishes there. Joe Lowell, Achuel.
Well, they've just now moved. They're 1 point ahead. Now they're 7 points, 6 points behind, just to give you an idea. They've got to get points from somewhere. High off the glass goes Deng. Sibanioni unable to get the rebound. Murphy picks it up. Up against Ndoye. He's got a couple of bigs coming towards him. Gets the ball back. Flings it out to Deng just outside. Repositions himself for a three. Rattles. Doesn't drop. Sankello, that's great acceleration. Put it in there! Another bombastic score from Sankello.
That was such an important score on the miss from Deng. It brings it back to two possessions. He finds an extra gear, and he just accelerates for the dunk.
Well, Usher, you know, did you see something flash in front of your eyes there?
Absolutely. You know that Sankello Tele, his style of play, he likes to express himself and that physical ability to rise up above the ground. And he saw a space, he took it, an easy dunk for him. Yeah. He's back.
He's definitely back. But it's the fact that he read the situation so well, because everybody was kind of backpedaling in a slowish kind of way. He ripped into it, electrifyingly good. Picked up, long-range shot there. Ndoye trying to get himself a big score. That's a good rebound opportunity for Sibanioni. Foul committed there by Ben Alhadj, and he'll go to the free throw line.
He did well to stay with the play. First of all, to get the pass out to Ndoye in the corner. And a look at this move from Tele. He just changes gears, catches the defense sleeping, and he only knows one thing. Gets up above the rim, flushes it home.
Well, Murphy's Law didn't exist on that occasion as he went round the back, turned him inside and out. That was top quality. We see some great scoring from both sides, Q.
Yeah, he went right against the law and came out on top on that possession. Sibanioni, he's at the free throw line.
And 4:45 left in the third quarter. In it goes for Sibanioni. And Sibanioni up to
9 points now on the cusp of double figures.
And he shoots 66% from the free throw line. Sibanyoni, he splits that pair.
Murphy, Sankelo. Can't afford to foul, remember. Izatchuel gets it back out. Golden for three. Long range shot. Oh! He is just hitting the target big time tonight.
At this point, every spot is golden because he can't miss.
Diarra. Sankelo. Again, as the acceleration goes high off the glass. The attempted tip-in. Doesn't fall. And Doi had a good chance, but Atchwil matched him big time for height. That is just brilliant. Blind pass to the left. In it goes for that man, Majok Deng.
The defense is going to be an issue here. There's got to be a timeout called as Alahli Libya, they're just having their way with the Cape Town Tigers as they extend the lead to 10 points.
Look at this. We see the quick transition here. Just look at that pass. Sensational stuff and a great score and finish there by that man, Majok Deng. But honestly, Trey Golden, the new recruit, is most definitely underlining himself as someone super important here in this in the playoffs here in Kigali.
But if there's a way that you want to make a debut, Trey Golden, you take a bow. He's just been masterful. His shot selection has been great. He has only missed one shot from the field, and he's got himself all the way up to 18 points. Connected a four from the three-point line, and has also dished out 8 assists.
Yeah, served up on a tray. Let's take a look at the game stats. We can see 18. Look at the 18 points. But it's from the field. He's very strong. He's got rebounds. But look at the assist that he's got there. So it's all about distribution. But also he knows when to take the shot and get the points.
You really get a sense for why they brought him in to the playoffs, Alahli Libya. Why he was a suitable replacement for Pierre Papi Jackson, because the stats say it all. Diu Deng, 15 points. Delek goes from 2 all the way up to 9. Trying to create his own impact for the Cape Town Tigers. But what the Cape Town Tigers need to figure out of this timeout is how to slow down this athlete offensive trade that hit them just out of that last timeout.
And of course, Senati Sibanyoni just 1 point away from a double-double, which would be nice for his birthday, but it means nothing if they don't win. Asha?
Yeah, you get to see Coach Flush just trying to address the offensive play there from Al-Ahli Libya. They're using the pick and roll on top of the D, and they want help. They want to also double trap whoever has the ball so that they make sure it doesn't go to Golden.
There's Ndoye going for a big long three-pointer from way out west. That would have been helpful for the Tigers. Diabate back on Murphy. Atchwil. When he goes and does that, you always know there's trouble around. And then you see Deng trying to get the score after the pass dropped into the basket. Foul committed. And second team foul for
a mobile big Tigers. Frame and really aggressive. Joluel Atchwil makes a good pass to Deng. And he goes to the ground now there. Having a look, I think, at the foul.
Yeah, just to understand. I think it's Sibanyoni. Yeah, just taking a look to see if it's Sibanyoni or Ndoye. It is Sibanyoni who picks up the foul, and it's his second.
Just confirmation that the score went in. I think that's what they were trying to have a look at, that the bucket did count.
Which means that there will only be one shot for...
It could have also just been for interference, I think. Whatever it was, Deng will go and shoot two.
And try and make it a 12-point lead. So this is a big lead. This is the biggest lead that they've ever had
Al Ahly Libya. We've got 3:28. They really need to try and, you know, set up and assess the situation following that timeout. Bridgeforth has come on. Sibanioni. And that's going to be a foul on Sibanioni. He didn't move his foot.
Deng will pick up his third foul. He gets a little bit too close to Sibanioni, so third team foul, third foul on Deng. We'll have to go to the bench.
I mean, these are the little moments to work in the favour of Cape Town Tigers, but they need to get points, otherwise they'll fall behind. Whitbread into the hands of Bridgeforth. Bridgeforth trying to find his way around the big man. Drops it in. Can he get the shot? No, it just falls to the side. And made safe there by Al Maghribi.
Works his way to the centre of the paint. Can't find his touch there. Bridgeforth on that move.
That's Shuil. Back out to Golden. Shot clock down to 8 seconds. Goes around. Going to deal with Man Yang. Man Yang nearly manages to get hold of the ball. Murphy through the middle. Comes back out. Shot clock down to zero. But it comes off the rim. And picked up and taken up by Deng. Deng for three. Goes for three. Gets three! Up to 18 he goes.
That was a great defensive possession by the Cape Town Tigers. They force the shot late in the shot clock, and then they get a transition opportunity that Deng is able to knock down.
And that's a 9-point lead now as Whitbread comes up against Golden. Golden driving hard through, and it comes off the leg of Bridgeforth. They'll get possession back. Usher, this is just frenetic stuff. But the Tigers, they've still got a bite about them, but they need to just stop the Al Ahly Libya team from pushing forward.
Yeah, with Bridgeforth coming back onto the court, he still brings that presence in the paint and picking up from where Ndoye had, you know, put the rhythm into this game for the Cape Town Tigers. But they need to be consistent on the offensive side, but first to play good defense and deny this Al Ahly Libya from scoring.
This is nicely done. Well, look at that. The shot will go in. That is brilliant stuff from Gaid Al Maghribi, who draws attention, gets the foul and goes to the free throw line, but gets the points too.
When they get the opportunity to allow Achuel to just go to work against the Cape Town Tigers bigs, you see him draw two defenders. He makes the right decision, and Al Maghribi, well, he finishes because the work has really all been done by Achuel.
Yeah, but Achuel would draw 10 defenders if there were 10 defenders on the floor. I mean, everybody will try and go around it because he's such a difficult player to deal with in the paint.
There's a reason he leads the VAL in scoring. And never mind his 42-point performance, you understand just what a difficult cover he can be inside the paint.
Usher, he would draw 50 defenders, wouldn't he, if he possibly did? All right, okay, I'm just going
through. Robbie.
I'm off now. Let the charge go in through, and you can see good work again from Deng.
You see the work from Achuel, not only on the offensive end, but what he does on the defensive side, just as important.
Yeah, big wingspan, of course. Whitbread, that's a good pass into that. Oh, he's gone right over the top, Bridgeforth. Who got the last touch? Well, the answer is Sibanioni. They get possession. These are the key moments in this encounter that go against the Tigers, of course. Remember, this is just a seeding game. We're in the playoffs, but this is just about who will play against who going into the quarterfinals, of course.
Yeah, the winner of this game will play the loser of the first or the next game, which is the first and second seeds in the Basketball Africa League after qualification.
That's great work. That is from Whitbread. And there's a foul. No, it's been committed there by Achuel just on the ground on Whitbread.
Fourth team foul now. Second foul for Achuel.
But Dylan Whitbread's what he's brought to this Tigers performance. You know, he's made a couple of really good assists, but he's also, you know, he's fighting quite hard. All he's missing now is a big three-pointer from one of the sweet spots that we see him practice, you know, and find out wide.
And sometimes the value is not on the score sheet. You've got to just be a good addition on the defensive end.
To finish that off, are you talking from experience, Q?
Definitely, always.
Listen, let's see where this is going. Deng. It's the Tigers in possession, and the shot clock down to 5. It's 3. They're all queuing up to score this one, and it's been put in there by Hamad, the captain.
A turnover at the top of the key, an easy transition bucket for Al Ahly Libya. Hamad, he got goes up high.
13 points, the lead. Last minutes of the third quarter. It's a good time to see the Tigers hit back. Shot clock down to 8 seconds. Bridgeforth driving through. Tries to go up. It's just a little bit short. Golden makes it safe. And his experience will tell you that he'll just slow things down. But there again, Sola Diabate's got hold of the ball and he likes to accelerate. Well, it's a turnover ball picked up, nicely done. Deng picks it up, he's picked his spot. Oh, it's just gone over the top. There you go, put it in, beautifully done. And Bridgeforth gets his fifth point. Whereas I think it's his third point, isn't it? Because he got one free throw shot earlier.
We've seen him take three shots contested and it hasn't been good shot selection. That's the first time really allowed a free opportunity at the bucket for Bridgeforth.
5 seconds, chance for Golden to try and get three. It's a big shot and it's a big three as well. 72-58 at the end of the third. Golden hour has arrived. Take a look at this.
Just Golden shooting is wide open. He had no doubt that that was going in.
We'll take a break. We'll be back for the fourth.
Jacko.
Yo.
Dunk of the game going to the Cape Town Tigers, man. It's looking good, man.
I wasn't giving them the dunk of the day. The game is still on, man. It's not dunk of the day. Dunk of the game, okay? Yeah. It is 72-4. Libya's Alalive to 58. Cape Town Tigers. This is going to be a very deep hole to dig yourself out of, Cape Town Tigers.
It's going to be a tough one, man. You can see that gap is
slow. 14 points ahead.
Is that the biggest gap
this
so far?
This has to be the biggest gap in the game so far. Because before that, the biggest was 11, the 9 points.
And, you know, at the end of the third quarter, like finding yourself in this position, coming into the fourth quarter, what do you do, Mokbel, as a team? Like, how do you overcome a 14-point deficit for a team that is already dominating you?
Yeah, it's very difficult simply because a lot of times third quarters usually dictate how the game is going to go. But there's still 10 minutes of play coming up. If you are the Cape Town Tigers, you really have to lay everything out on the line. As we're seeing here, they're 5 for 21 from three-point land. They continue to shoot the three ball, but it's not really working. They're being out-rebounded by about 11 rebounds. Their assists, they're down on assists. So pretty much everything really has to change for them in this last 10 minutes where they have to be more efficient. They have to figure out exactly, you know, how to keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, to salvage their season. So, let's get back into it. Fourth quarter has tipped off. Let's go back to the BK Arena.
To try and start out this fourth and final quarter, especially when you're trailing by 12 points. I'm attacking the rim hard. Forces the foul there from Bridgeforth. You know, we just before that, we got to talk a little bit about what we're seeing from Trey Golden, because he's 8 of 9 from the field for 21 points. He's been 5 of 6 from the 3-point line. It's been an amazing introduction from Trey Golden.
Yeah, his numbers are pretty good. Usher, we're going to come over to you because I think that was, it's an important time for the coaches to try and feed the right information to their players.
Yeah, of course, we're going into the business end of this game. It's the last quarter, and they have to give everything here if they want to win the game. But for Al Ahli Libya, they want to maintain that momentum that they ended the third quarter with, but also really to see how to get the ball into the hands of Kevin Murphy.
Al Ahli Libya, possession. Diabate's on the floor, he goes down, and it's going to be an offensive foul on Diarra. And they get, it's the Cape Town Tigers who get possession.
Yeah, Deng goes right into Diarra. Oh, a little push
from Diabate, I think, who came up, and, you know, he's looking across
Anyway, there was contact.
It is Diabate who picked up the foul.
Here we go with Cartier Diarra in possession. Needs support. Picked up by Whitbread. Whitbread fakes, goes in, cuts through, gets it out. Long range shot going in. Over the top it goes. And picked up right comfortably there by Captain Hamad, and Diabate in possession. That's what he does. He's absolutely top quality, but that's good work from Manyang to get the rebound. Diabate's on the ground, gets up slowly. No injury. Whitbread, Whitbread for three. Right over the top.
But two times we've seen shots from the outside, and both of them have not touched iron for the Cape Town Tigers.
Well, it's just got, it's all free for Diabate, and that's just great play. The pass into the hands of you know, the ever-dangerous big man that is Gaetan Maghribi. Fantastic.
Stagnant again on the defensive end, and Al-Azi Libya just making them pay every time they touch the basketball.
Well, the shots from out from distance not sinking at the moment. That's a problem for the Tigers. Diabate, 17-point lead. They need to chop it down and get themselves back into the picture here. It's a little touch, good enough touch to get the ball into the hands of Manyang. Manyang's been pointed by Ndoye. Go up there, go and score. Long range shot. The shot doesn't fall from Sam Kello.
It used to go quickly again, and they still can't find any touch.
Solo Diabate, the Ivorian, two-time winner of this BAL league, of course. Oh, that's just sumptuous, isn't it? When he coasts into the paint, you always know that something's going to happen. He either scores or he just sets it up for a teammate to score.
He gets into the right position. Al Maghribi has definitely given Al-Ahli Libya a little something extra inside the paint as he picks up his sixth point.
Well, Ndoye goes for two. The two picked up once again by Manyang. Back out. Ndoye moving forward. A little bit too much force there. He was turns around and walks back into position, of course, knowing that he didn't get his range. These are points that are being missed.
I've seen him make a couple inside. We've seen him make a couple inside. Maybe more comfortable there, but not so confident on his ability from range.
Diabate for three. Oh, drop it in from high. Dry over the chop.
It's the lead now has become highly significant for Al-Ahli Libya. They're going to have to call a timeout with the Cape Town Tigers. They need to regroup and find ways to break down this defense from the Libyan champions.
Well, a bit of a wild pass to the shot clock down to five. He's got to go for it. Whitbread right over the top, and another miss picked up by Murphy.
It's falling apart offensively for the Cape Town Tigers in this fourth and final quarter.
Yeah, they're looking very well organized, aren't they, Al-Ahli Libya? Just using time, making the pass, slowing things down when they need to, and then the burst of acceleration from Solo Diabate normally, that picked up by Cartier Diarra, and a foul committed by that man, Al Maghribi. That'll be his second, and the second team foul for Al-Ahli Libya. Usher, I'm going to come over to you. Do you find that they're missing a little bit of glue, just keeping that Cape Town Tigers team together at the moment?
It is frustrating, of course, for the Cape Town Tigers. Seven straight turnovers, they've failed to score. They're forcing that shot outside of the perimeter, yet they have the size to go into the
we'll
paint.
We'll take a break for a second.
Things.
We'll be back in a minute.
Basketball Africa League coverage here on The Voice of America. It is a 22-point lead. Alali has managed to carve out the kind of lead that is going to be tough to overcome.
Forget about the OT.
Showcasing their strategic offensive prowess and discipline. Leading the charge is point guard Robert Golden, whose scoring ability has put his team to the top. Mikey.
Yeah, man. It's not looking good. I've seen a couple of air balls coming through. It's just, yeah, it's that shot selection. Once again, 20 points, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, too.
Yeah. And then supporting Golden is Majok Deng and Kevin Murphy, both of whom have been very instrumental in maintaining Alali's offensive flow. It's kind of been tough for Cape Town Tigers to catch up. Those flips earlier we saw in the leads and now more. Now is this looks like a Alali.
Yeah, no more.
Yeah, it seems a little bit one-sided at the moment. But, until the game is over, the game is not over. So we will see what Cape Town have in store for us in this last 5 minutes and some change. Let's get back to the BK Arena.
Dropping in for a nice little three there.
Well, at some point it had to fall for the Cape Town Tigers. Eventually one does, and right now it's live or die by the three, the way that they're going about constructing their offensive possessions.
He's up to 12 points now. Got a good start to this coming out of there. Oh my word. Well, Atchwell just dropping in, I mean effortlessly, 3 points from downtown.
Again, they go into a zone, top of the key is left wide open, and Deng is able to make an open jump shot.
Back out, Bridgeforth. Bridgeforth tries to, he floats it over the top. That's a good score, that is, for Bridgeforth. He's up to five.
First time we've seen one of his little close-range floaters fall in. He gets another one. A dunk can often give you just a little bit of confidence.
20-point lead here for Olivia Golden. Golden's been absolutely outstanding. That's nicely done. Atchwell, ball comes out. It's an opportunity. Here it is. Diarra trying to go in front of the big man. Tries to drop it into the path of Bridgeforth. Atchwell doing brilliant stuff in defense.
Kevin Murphy playing the passing lane. He picks off the pass. He read what Diarra's intentions were entirely.
Well, that's just perfect, isn't it? Getting in the way, that's a great piece of defensive play. And he's going, where was the ball? Well, it wasn't Houdini. There he is, Bridgeforth. Well, a little bit of luck there. A little bit of assistance as well, but it goes in.
And first time we've seen a little bit of aggression and some pulley ball from Bridgeforth. Look at the pass. And this is really the work of Deng, the anticipation, the poor offensive play, and then they come back the other way. And the pass right there to Bridgeforth. You look at the aggression, he stays with it, and he taps it in.
Perseverance pays off. It's an important score as well, because it's an 18-point lead. They come back down. Ivan Jarovic is the man who is called the timeout for the Libyan team, the Libyan champions, three-time winners of the Libyan League.
He's seen enough, just a break in the momentum of the scoring of the Cape Town Tigers, trying to settle back. The Libyan champions will come back out and try to run their offense, run it a little bit deep, and see if they just can't get a score to break the scoring run as Cape Town try to get themselves back in this game.
Well, we take a look at Majok Deng and 12.2 points conference average this game. He's on 18. Look at this, 67% from the field. His three assists. I mean, he's blitzing pretty much everything.
You remember he had 20 points against Bungie, and a lot of those came up top. Whenever he's close range, pretty effective. He's showing us his ability to shoot the three ball and coming down in transition downhill, pretty effective as well. Majok Deng, 18 points, fantastic. He has been alongside that man Golden. They've spearheaded this offense for the Libyan champs.
Asha, we're going to come over to you.
Yeah, Coach Ivan, just really asking Al Ahli Libya to see out this game. They can smell the victory. Of course, stranger things have happened in the game of basketball in the last 4 minutes, but they feel like they have done everything that they could to win this game.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened. The Al Ahli losing possession because the ball went back over into their own half, and that was just a small little error.
An unforced error, jumping into the half court, and That's just a timing issue on the pass, but it's a, not the ideal execution out of a timeout, especially when the Tigers have been on a bit of a run.
4:08 left to play in this opening playoff encounter. We have four playoffs, and then we have the quarterfinals. This is all to find out who will play against who, and it's all about who finished in which position. Oh, swatted away in a big way.
Trying to go to work against the bigger defender. Samkelotele trying to utilize his athleticism. He is able to draw the foul.
And that's sometimes you can call that basketball suicide, I think, Kieran.
Some players just really are supremely athletic. Samkelotele is one of them.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's what you've got to look at. You assess how you play and you understand sort of, you know, what you're capable of doing. This man here shooting from the free throw line has the agility of of a leaping leopard. He really is, you know, capable of getting behind and over, you know, even some of the biggest players in Africa.
Agility, strength, he's got verticality when he jumps, and he's got the ability to finish. I think just sometimes he forces the offensive game and looks to create too much individual offense, but he's got a chance here to try and get the Cape Town Tigers back.
Well, listen, you know, finish strongly and you'll put yourself in a good place going into your quarterfinal matchup against either Alali of Egypt or Fousta Rabat of Morocco. Here is Golden. Golden going up high over the top. It doesn't manage to fall. It's been picked up and out of the hands of Atchoul it goes. I think Tiara made a little bit of made contact there, hence the reason why they'll get possession back.
It's Golden's first miss from the field since the first quarter, and that's really the first time we've seen him contested on the jump shot, and it just shows what a little bit of pressure can do once you get out to the shooters.
Back to Solo Diabate, Kevin Murphy, Atchoul, Golden. Nicely done out to Diabate. Shot clock down to three. They've lost it. And the Tigers pick it up. Danged. Oh, right over the top. Good touch coming in from Al Maghrebi. Otherwise, that would have been sunk.
It was, the intention was right and the play was right. And they'll keep possession alive. And what they'll be happy about is the work on the defensive end to force the turnover. And just a timely hand there from Al Maghrebi.
Keller looking to get on the end of that. Let's see if they can get points from this play. Here he is, the same man who missed out on that last opportunity. Samkelo going into the paint, twisting, turning. There is contact from Solo Diabate, I believe. That might be a second foul.
It is some contact, and it allows Keller to go back to that free throw line. He does have the ability to draw the foul because of the traits we've mentioned before, and you see him turn and go back around and force Diabate to come across. And he'll get a chance now to go back there.
Asha, do we call that an Ivorian swat?
Yes, that's exactly what you would call it.
Well, Samkelo knows how to deal with it. 83-68, 15 points. And 3:11 left on the clock. You know, this is still, it's still possible for the Tigers to claw themselves back and get the win.
There is a slither of hope, and that 77% from the free throw line, he makes both under pressure. And this run, they need to continue to ride.
Five team fouls for Alali Libya. So this is the moment that you mentioned before. This is where they could go all aggressive in the paint, draw attention and draw the fouls, stop the clock, go to the free throw line. Who knows? Diabate going up for the big. Oh, it just rolls back out and picked up by Bridgeforth. Manyang. Diarra. Diarra, the acceleration right through the paint, tries to go. No, oh, that is delightful from Diarra as he moves up into double figures. 10 points for him.
It was really good defense from Deng, but even better offense from Diarra creates there with the offhand under pressure falling to the ground.
12 points. Nicely. Oh, well, Manyang. Let's have a look. I think he will get the... No,
it's... It's going to be.
It's going to count, I think.
No, it'll be possession to the Cape Town Tigers. Ball gets wedged in the rim there on the defensive play, so it becomes possession situation, and that you can credit Manyang. That's some good defense. Cape Town Tigers have got an opportunity here.
That's the score there from Diarra. Talked about opportunities. Let's see exactly what they do here. They want to run. Deng. Deng on the outside goes to try and get past Murphy. Tries to go up. Oh, a touch there from Bridgeport. A little bit of magic from the big American.
But he's given them some real value. He goes up to 9 points now as he taps that in on the miss from Deng.
And it's a 10-point game. And time is of the essence. 154 Golden, top scorer here tonight with a look at that. That pass. Oh, loss of possession. And here's Samkelo going up. And of course, you draw a bit of attention, get a foul, you go to the free throw line. Not the case. Patiently waits. Shot clock down to 8. Swings it out. Deng for 3. Oh, dropping in a sky shot coming down from the stars.
That is big time shot making from Tiu Deng, and the Cape Town Tigers are well and truly back in this one. As Deng up to 21 points, and this is Dele trying to find his offense, but he hands off to Deng with the shot clock winding down, and long range sniper. He knocks down an important 3 points.
Boom. Get in there. We love this. This is the BAL. 83-76, 125 left to play. Five team fouls for Alili Libya, of course, and that means that they're in a situation, a delicate situation. At the same time, you know, that run for the Tigers, that's a scorching hot plank temperature, highest temperature ever recorded.
And the first time really we've seen Alali Libya make poor decisions against the zone. It almost feels as if they were settling for contested shots. What was a little different was they were moving the ball earlier, finding more wide open shots at 3 or 4 possessions in a row. Once it gets converted by the Cape Town Tigers offense, we've seen them come back in this one, and they've just made this game interesting.
Interesting, Usher.
Yeah, interesting is Coach Flush wants them to continue to put pressure on the ball, and they've done that. That's how they got the last possession and scored on the other end of the court. They know that Al Ahly Libya will try to run down that clock, but there's so much basketball to still be played here.
Well, if we look at some of the the top boys on the pile there, Q.
And both top scorers, 21 points, just a different efficiency. 8 of 10, 7 of 19 for Diu Deng. It doesn't matter right now. We don't have to break down all of that. It's decision-making by both teams in this final 128. And now the pressure has shifted a little bit, and it is on the Libyan champions to try and close out.
Absolutely. And let's see how they cope and what they do out here now. Sula Diabate getting a very good look. Good run on the floor. Murphy, look at this. A little bit of a high court press here from the Tigers as Atchwell gets the ball back down. Golden need to try and pressure them. Shot clock down to 9, just to keep an eye on that. As Golden, with a fine tally of 21 points, flings it out wide. It's picked up by Hammer, the captain. Made safe at the back by Deng. Takes it up. Remember, a 7-point lead. He goes for his 3. His 3's a little bit too short. And the side of the rim, bit of net, and not the right shot. He takes responsibility.
But he has had the hot hand. He goes 5 of 10 now from the 3-point line. Sometimes you have to question. I thought it can be a little bit questionable in his shot decisions or shot-making decisions. That was not a good choice.
Diabate goes home alone. You won't stop the man from the Côte d'Ivoire when he races and dances down into the paint.
That might be the dagger for Al Ahly Libya.
That's a good... Oh, the attempted tip-in from Bridgeforth after the drive from Diarra doesn't count. Diabate once again. Oh, the burst of acceleration. This is just sensational. How do you stop Solo Diabate?
After that, there is no way to stop him. That was shot creation on the highest level. What an amazing play from Solo Diabate. He gets right to the rim. And that is going to be the exclamation mark for the Libyan champs.
Well, you talk about... That is called a solo run. And when the solo run draws attention, you know that it's big, big news. What an outstanding pair of scores that we saw there. That is just remarkable. But we're not actually surprised because we just know how talented the Ivorian is.
Big-time players make big-time players. I'll continue to say it. And Solo Diabate, an important score. But again, you have to go back to decision-making, especially the three-point shot from Deng that falls short. If you're going to take the shot, you got to make the shot. And with that miss and the score on the other end, I'm afraid it's not looking so good for the Cape Town Tigers, and it's looking much better for the Libyan chaps.
Yeah, it is. Usher, we're going to come over to you. What are you picking up on the side of the court?
Well, the Cape Town Tigers obviously disappointed with that last minute of play. They had hoped that they could get back into the rhythm that they heard earlier, but the turnover there from Deng really took the freshness and breath of hope from their souls. But they'll keep fighting. It is 25 seconds on the clock. Let's see what will happen. Al Ahly Libya are in foul trouble.
16 points for Samkelo Tele. It's been a tough day at the office, but still able to provide some production. He struggled 1 of 8 in that first half, and maybe he needs to look at trying to start the game a little different, but that's not important now. It's Cape Town Tigers' possession.
Man Young for three. Bridgeport just not able to get the rebound. This is just going to slow things down. There's no shot clock. This is the end. 10 seconds remaining. And Murphy, Golden. Let's see if they finish off with a score. I doubt it's going to happen. And there it is. That is the end. The end of the first playoff. And, well, it's all about Al Ahly Libya just staying ahead, getting victory here. So they'll go down as the team that beat the Cape Town Tigers, and they will take on the losers of the next game this evening between Al Ahly Egypt and, of course, Fouster Rabat of Morocco, the first and the second ranked teams from the entire competition.
It was still an entertaining game. There were flashes for the Cape Town Tigers, but Al Ahly Libya just proving to be the better team on the day. They were able to...
Basketball Africa League. If the first few minutes of this game were any indication about how this would end, remember, it was 9-0 in the beginning, and at the end, it's 9-point lead. 87-76, our final score. Libya up by 9 points, trouncing Cape Town Tigers.
I don't know about trouncing.
there were moments of the glimpses of brilliance for the Tigers, but eventually I think they lost the steam, and Al Ahly was the better team, and they come up with a fast win in the Basketball Africa League playoffs of the fourth season in Kigali, Rwanda. Not so much going on in terms of the fans cheering and stuff, but let's see what the numbers tell us. Makbil, talk to me.
If I'm looking at the numbers right now, it is just showing us a pretty much a consistent theme for what we've been seeing throughout the entirety of the game. 49% field goal percentage for Al Ahly Libya to 35%. 20 assists to 17 assists in favor of Al Ahly as well. 53 rebounds to 36 rebounds is a blowout. At the moment, let's go back to Kigali and listen to Robert Golden. He had 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists.
You feel that you were a bit complacent in the last 2 minutes of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I could have been a little better. I think we just should have slowed down, and kept playing our game. But I'm just glad we got the win.
Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, there it is, the reaction from...
And that was the reaction from Robert Golden, who led his team to this victory alongside Majoke Deng. So he had 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. Interesting.
Kevin Murphy, how many points did he come? Because Kevin was also one of the instrumental players.
Kevin Murphy had about 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists as well.
Yeah.
On the other side, Cape Town Tigers, Diu Abok Deng had 21 points. The young man that we spoke about that was playing for Dynamo got his opportunity to play for Cape Town. Really shown, you know, did his best, man. He tried to lift the team on his back, man. You know, alongside
you can go only so far.
There's only so
if
much
you're doing
you can
all the
do.
Leg work.
Yeah, alongside Sam Keller, who had 16 points as well, and Cartier Ducati Diarra with 10 points.
I love that name.
Legendary. CDD is the name, man. Legend. But yeah, man, Cape Town, you know, they did what they could do,
absolutely.
Honestly.
Absolutely. Let's remind our viewers and listeners that the Cape Town Tigers secured their playoff spot as one of the two best third-placed teams from the three conferences, while Al Ahly Libya finished second in the competitive, very much competitive Nile Conference, just behind Al Ahly Egypt, which we are going to be watching next as they take on FUS Rabat.
Yes,
FUS Rabat.
Yep. FUSI.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're just joining us, this is the Basketball Africa League coverage on the Voice of America. Game one has ended. It's in the bag. I'm Jackson Vunganyi with Mark Bill Yabaro and Mike Hover with some post-game coverage and analysis. We have some interviews for you lined up. But, Cape Town Tigers, I guess, are taking the flight back home, Mikey.
SAA was already on the runway, my good friend. Yeah, man, they're the first team to get knocked out. Of course, like we highlighted as we started this whole conversation, they were easily the underdogs. I think they pulled their weight, as we mentioned. When the game started off, they were 9 points down. When it wrapped up, they were 9 points down. But throughout the whole time, they were trying their best to make sure that they, at the very least, they leave the stage not as underdogs or as a respectable side. One of the conversations, of course, was how did Cape Town Tigers make it here in the first place? Mm. And I think that was irrelevant in this game. They tried their best to make sure that conversation was not had. Now, of course, once again, they were the weakest team, and it showed today. It also showed how North Africa seems to have a chokehold on the Basketball Africa League.
Right, for sure.
Once again, the Libyan debutants were not playing like their debutants. Cape Town Tigers, this is their third season, if I'm correct,
Again, Mikey, does this come down to the issue of resources, as we've talked about? Because Cape Town Tigers has
resources.
It's a resourceful team. In a stable country, in a stable environment, unlike Libya might have the resources, but the country's
the stability
is not there.
Right.
But the way they've been playing, you wouldn't even know there's any type of instability going on in the country. The Cape Town Tigers were powered on by Dio Dieng, who was a standout performer for the Tigers, leading his team in points with aggressive drives to the basket and some great shooting. Some Kelo Sele and Sibanyoni also making significant impact. It came down to, who has more hearts, who has more drive, who wants it the most, I guess. Cape Town Tigers now are finally out of the Basketball Africa League after winning only one game in their conference. That's when they beat Petro de Rwanda to make it to Kigali. Now they're going, have to prepare for season 5. They have enough time to acquire
some new talent.
I don't feel like there's a lot of competition locally for them because they have been very dominant in the South Africa Basketball
League.
They've
been the only team that's made it into BAL. Am I correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Whereas Rwanda has had three different teams make it through, showing you the level of quality.
Right.
Because when you constantly have one league, one team constantly winning the league, it just puts a question of how good or what's the difference in that one specific team. Do they have maybe more resources? Does that specific team have more resources than others?
Or the state of the league.
Right. So it's either one or the other. it'd be interesting to see a different team from South Africa make it. But,
you know. This team is kind of relatively new. Cape Town Tigers, relatively new.
Based on my understanding and the conversations that I've had with some of the players, what has happened is over the years, of course, BAL's 4 years in, what's happened is as BAL season approaches or as that road to BAL conversation starts kicking in, some players start shifting from their other teams to start playing for the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
We had a conversation, I don't know why his name keeps skipping me, the BAL player that we spoke to,
Prince Lou,
or is it? Anyway, he's one of the players that have a Puma sponsorship with Nkosinathi Sibanyoni. And he also was not originally a Cape Town Tigers player. What mm-hmm. happens is sometimes as the time starts approaching and the road to BAL starts edging closer, they start calling other players and saying, hey, we've seen you play. Do you want to come play for the Cape Town Tigers? Now, obviously, as we move forward and we're starting to see the importance of having more players that play together, I think the Cape Town Tigers need to start reevaluating that conversation and having more players that originate from Cape Town or players that originate from the Tigers playing for the Tigers.
Lebesa Selebe, I think that's the
Lebesa Selebe, that's who we're thinking about. That's exactly who we're talking about.
We spoke to our own Omolemo Kale.
Right. So Lebesa himself did not play. He originally was not a Cape Town Tigers player.
Right.
But what happened was as the road to BAL started approaching, he used to play actually for the opponent of Cape Town Tigers. So it's like, imagine Mokbo being an Arsenal player and me being a Manchester United player.
And
when it's time for
the
Champions League, Mokbo comes and says, hey, I've seen you play and you play well.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
I kind of love the fluidity of the whole BAL.
The strict rules.
Yeah, the strict rules. And maybe at some point they will tighten up that when, you know, in season 5 and 6. But mm-hmm. right now it's, you know,
it's no holds bar.
I mean, it's quite possible if APR had made it that Israel or Togo would have actually been able to play in Kigali in the playoffs, even though he played for Dynamo in the conference Kalahari.
Right.
As we have seen over the years, many players, or, you know, not even just the journeymen, local players have been able to move from one team to the next at any point in as the game or the league, as the conferences progress on. But in case you're just joining us, this is a VOA's Basketball Africa League coverage. Remember to check us out on our website at voaafrica.com. Mark Bill, what you got last lineup for us?
Yeah, at the moment, we're going to start with a segment that you actually had the pleasure of speaking with some City Oilers. You spoke with a City Oilers player.
Absolutely, Divine AK and Will Perry, both of them were very dominant in the Sahara Conference. Will Perry is the point guard, and Divine AK is the small forward.
That's the Rivers Hoopers, segment that we'll have on later. But at the moment,
correct,
we'll have the City Oilers.
Oh, yes, absolutely. City Oilers big man Luol Titus spoke with Jonah Byakutaga in Kampala, Uganda. City Oilers has made their second appearance in the BAL this year in Cairo and struggled immensely. They were not able to make, I think they won only one game. Actually, it's, you know, ironically, they mm-hmm. beat the defending champions. In this conversation, Jonah Byakutaga really speaks to Luol about, you know, how chemistry, and Luol keeps saying that if they had used, and this is an argument Mike and Mark Bill and I have had, in if these teams maintain, if only they maintained the players that win the local leagues,
mm-hmm.
going into whatever conference, I think they have better chances of winning.
Yeah, yeah.
But we see that they win the local league, they make it to, you know, road to BAL, make it to the conferences, bring in all these different guys that have not been playing with them. There's no chemistry.
No meshing.
Yeah, and then, you know, they lose. So let's listen in.
You just completed a remarkable journey with the City Oilers at the BAL Championship. And unfortunately, for the fourth time in four editions, the Ugandan champions, the City Oilers that you play for, will not be participating at the BAL Championship playoffs in Kigali. How does that make you feel, first of all, as part of the team that was in Egypt?
Looking at BAL, you know, performance for Oilers, definitely, yeah, I think it's 3 years, not four. But I've been part of the team twice now, last year and this year. And participating last year, being my first be in particular, but also as Sitoilers, I think it was the first in Nile Conference. Participating there was hard, and it was our first time. So we got hopes that come 2024, we shall be able to make it to Kigali. And then we still worked for it, worked hard, you know, went back to South Africa, qualified again, came back to Nile Conference, and yeah, it was the same story like last year. So looking at it that way, first of all, no one is happy from the management to the bottom. No one really is happy that we didn't make it to Kigali, including Uganda as a country basketball-wise. Looking at the players we had, we thought we could make it, and the way we lost, everyone knew if this team was given a chance in one way or the other, they could play. So as players, no one is really, really happy about the outcome of the results that we had. So we look at it as, one, the management recruiting players wasn't sufficient enough to make us qualify. You know how we have the thing of international players helping the local players. So yeah, it wasn't really a good performance from the City Oilers as a club. And no one in particular is actually happy that we didn't qualify.
Let's stick on that bit of the players for just a bit, for me to get a bit of context. When I look at this roster that you had, that the team put together, the local players who play in the local league with you, yourself, of course, Alfayed Bale, Ivan Muhwezi, Tony Drileba, James Sokelo. The five of you are all also national team players as well. I then look at the few that were brought in from outside. Robinson Opong and Brandon Sevirumbi have also been part of the Silverbacks, which is a Uganda national team. And then I look at those that were brought from outside. You had Kaman Maloch, who plays in the NBA Academy. You had Rembert Patrick, and you had Dane Miller Jr. These were the players that were the foreign players, as you referred to them. That roster, in my mind, and for many of us doing the preview and watching you guys get ready for the tournament, we thought would be good enough to secure a top two position in the Nile Conference and enable you to get to the playoffs in Kigali. So you're trying to say this roster was actually not good enough?
I did say the roster is not good enough. That is a very good roster. But I would answer it as the Ugandan Jonah. When you look at that roster, apart from Kaman Maloach, the NBA Academy, actually the one who carried the whole Oilers team way back there, and you look at Dan Miller, look at Randy Kapler, and then you look at the locals. I would question you, Jonah, how many minutes did each local of us that is based in the Silverbacks play for you to call it a roster that was good enough to take us through? If I am not mistaken, the one who took at least 3 to 4 minutes each game is Okello James, who happens to be the captain of the Oilers, and Opong Robinson, who is not a locally based player, but a Silverbacks, of course. Brandon Sevirumbi had technical issues that we couldn't, you know, manage, so he didn't actually play. He's part of the Silverbacks, but he didn't play, so we are not going to include him for this. But the locals that you counted of Silverbacks actually did not play much of the game. 4 minutes is not going to give you a win against, Libya, Al Ahly, Bangui, all those teams.
So your suggestion is, if the local best players who perhaps already have chemistry and know each other had been given more minutes together on the court, results would probably have been different.
I'll give you an example of Al Ahly, Libya, the first game we played against them. We lost that game by 11 points or 12, not sure. But we were down 29 going to the third quarter. And then you put Bale Fayed to mark Diabate, yeah, Solomon. And this is a man that marked Diabate so well that the scores actually changed. To an extent, we are down a single-digit score at a certain point. So what does that perspective give you? That I think the locals would actually step up, you know, because this is what we want. Yeah. We are fighting for it. So that my point is, I think if the locals had mixed up with the, you know, because looking at it that way, Jonah, we had a camp of almost a month, but it was the locals that were in the camp that actually did play.
Basketball Africa League coverage, that was City Oilers player Luol talking to Jonah Byakutaga. Luol Titus is a big man center for the City Oilers. He also plays for the Uganda national team, the Silverbacks, talking about how one of the biggest issues they've been experiencing on these teams is having, you know, not giving the opportunity to young players that are winning local leagues to come to play and show their talent during the BAL conferences. What do you think is, do you think he has a valid point?
Yeah, it is a very pivotal point. I mean, once again, it goes back to a conversation that we've been having. It's a damned you do, damned you don't situation, because you need that experience. And I think the NBA and BAL are trying to infuse experience blood. And that's what's contributed towards a BAL as we know it today. But at the same time, I think the ethos or the whole point towards having the Basketball Africa League is to groom young talent.
Right.
And so if we've had an entire season of playing Ugandan players who are young players, young talent, it's kind of, it doesn't make sense eventually.
It's counterintuitive.
It's counterintuitive. It's counterproductive. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Where at some point, it's like we're doing this so that we could boost the talent in Uganda.
And yet when the opportunity comes,
you're taking it away from them. Yeah. So I do understand that point.
Absolutely.
It's a very valid point to make. And I think moving forward, as the city, if the City Oilers make it next year, I think that's something that they really need to look into perspective and really consider.
That is true.
Having a stronger, at the very least, infuse them, because one of the conversations we're having here is about depth, right? Even if that's not your starting player,
have him there on the bench
so that he gets some game time.
Absolutely.
That's how you develop the
young
players.
It's also you save resources. You know, most of these teams are struggling for money.
Right.
And if you're using all your money to get all these
on one
big
player,
players,
when
on
you
one
could
player,
have three.
Yeah, absolutely. In case you're just joining us, this is the Voice of America's Basketball Africa League coverage of Season 4. We just watched the team, Cape Town Tigers, face off against Al Ahly of Libya. They lost that by 9 points. This was a highly anticipated first clash that marks the beginning of the classification round, which will set the stage for the quarterfinal fixtures. The Cape Town Tigers came here after securing their playoff spot as one of the two bested place teams from three conferences, while Al Ahly Libya finished second in the competitive Nile Conference. Now the Cape Town Tigers are out and they're on their way home. At one point, Al Ahly Libya led by 22 points, showcasing their offensive prowess and strategic discipline. Leading the charge for Al Ahly was their star point guard, Robert Golden. We also had Majok Deng, Kevin Murphy, and many of them. All of them were really instrumental in maintaining Al Ahly's offensive flow. Majok Deng showed some versatility inside and the outside, and, you know, posed significant challenges for the Cape Town Tigers. On the other hand, the Cape Town Tigers, you know, there were points when they showed some brilliance, they would come back, close the gap. At some point, they even led. There was a switchover. You, Mike and I and Mark Bill were talking about how these are the kind of games we want to see. We don't want to see a team being dominated. We want to see that, you know, you're able to come back from behind, lead, switchers, just shows the caliber of basketball.
Especially not at this stage of the tournament.
Absolutely. In the playoffs, you're hungry. You're not trying to get blown away out. So, Mark Bill spoke with John Jordan. He plays for FUS de Rabat, a team that is going to be playing next against Al Ahly of Egypt. Jim Jordan is a former NBA G League Dunk Contest winner. and NBA G League champion. Here he's what he had to say about his run with the debutant team and what they hope to accomplish at this BAL Season 4 playoffs.
On a segment today, I have with me my man, John Jordan of FUS The Rabat. Thanks for being on a segment with me today, bro.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. Man, let's just start off. Debutant team for the Kalahari Conference. You guys kicked it off. What were your thoughts going into it? And did you feel like your core group had potential to be that successful coming out of that conference with some heavy hitters like Petro de Luanda and the Cape Town Tigers?
I mean, yeah, we've been competing together pretty much for the entire season. So my mindset going into the competition was just to be confident. I know what my teammates can do. They know what I can do. And like I said, we've been balling together all season. And so obviously we're not the most famous team in the competition. So, you know, we want to come in with a chip on our shoulder and, you know, improve to the rest of the continent of Africa, you know, that there's some good Moroccan players as well as guys, Americans like myself. And it's just a great opportunity for Fouz and the country of Morocco all together.
No, absolutely. How did you end up playing with Fouz?
One of my agents reached out to me last summer after I left the European market, and I just kind of want to get into a different market. I've been in Europe and in the G League pretty much my entire career, and I've never been to Africa, and I had been following the competition for since the existence of it. And, you know, I've always had my eye on it, and it was one of the things that I really wanted to play in and be a part of. And so we just kind of came together and made it happen.
Honestly, FUS definitely is excited to have you as we all are as fans watching the league, man, seeing the development of the league, like you mentioned, from season one to now season four. Were you watching the league closely in past seasons or were you just kind of just like you had heard about it and were just excited to get into it?
Well, for me, it's like a funny full circle moment because I actually attended the first BAL, the first BAL combine up in New York at the Brooklyn Nets facility, the very first combine. And it was shortly right after I tore my meniscus when I was in Europe, and I was just kind of using that as a recovery period. But when I attended the BAL combine, I seen how developed it already was and the potential in it. And so since then, I've just been following it year by year, and every year it seemed to be getting better. And this year has been pretty good. And I'm pretty sure it's going to continue to get better for years to come.
Yeah, I think just for me, I've been covering it from season one, and I've seen just drastic changes from the initial season, which was the COVID year, doing everything in Kigali, then splitting it to the conferences, and then now this year also adding Kalahari in South Africa, which was amazing. You touched on the G League a little bit. I do know that you won a dunk contest for the G League and a championship out there a couple years ago. Talk to us about that experience.
I mean, the G League was an amazing experience. I definitely feel like if you're an American and you play Division I, it doesn't matter if you play Division I, you play college basketball anywhere in America, you got the opportunity to go to the G League. I think you should take it, give it a try. I mean, obviously the American dream is to make the NBA, but you know, just even if you don't get a chance to play in the NBA, I think the G League is just a great development all around program for guys. Maybe you want to be a coach after, or you want to just continue to pursue your career in basketball. It's great for development. I mean, it's basically like the NBA. I mean, it's just the approach. It has a total NBA approach. Pretty much all of my coaches that I play for in the G League are now either assistants or, you know, general managers in the NBA now. So, you know, and that's just the type of the type of level of a professional that the G League produces. So it was a great experience. Shout out to Toronto, the Six.
Hey, the Six, man. Yeah, I got some family ties up in Toronto, so I could definitely shout out the Six for that one. So I definitely seen you catch a oop, man, and I seen a post at the BAL post. They say you got a 50-inch vert. Is that?
Yeah, that is true, man. That is true, man. You know,
so you're 5'10"? You're 5'10"?
5'10" on a good day.
Okay, 5'10" on a good day. 50-inch vert. Man, that's amazing, bro. That is amazing.
Appreciate you.
So how does that work? Like, is that all obviously genetics and natural has to play some part into it? And then did you just know that you could jump that high from a young age, or like how did that work?
Yeah, well, my mom ran track and my dad was an all sport athlete. And, you know, so a lot of it is genetics, but it's a lot of my hard work as well. And speaking of, I created me and my athletic trainer, we created our own vertical jump program. You see, I got the merch on Jump. It's called Jumping Like Jordan. It'll be out this summer. So it's just an all around health and wellness elite training kit. We believe that it'll increase your vertical jump as well as promote longevity and just rehab and recovery for not only basketball players, but for all athletes. And not even only athletes, if you're a regular person that just want to stay healthy, we've recorded over 100 different exercises. And so it's something I'm proud of. And it's something that I've used throughout my career to help not only increase my vert, but like I said, help maintain longevity in my athletic career.
Yeah, which is definitely very hard, man. You know, you have a lot of players and athletes that kind of peak out relatively early. So the longevity aspect of it is amazing, man. So kudos to Jumping Like Jordan, bro. Now, if we're going to talk about you guys, you heading over to Kigali later on today, starting off what will be your playoff run. What's the mentality in the locker room for your team?
I mean, like I said before, we want to come out confident. This is the final stage for us. We've been to two different qualifying stages, and you know we know what we can do. We know what we're capable of. Our coaches always put us in a good spot to succeed. And like I said, we just want to come out aggressive and come out blazing. There's no reason for any one of us to hold back at this moment. We've come this far, and we want to put Morocco on the map and put Fools on the map. So we're confident, definitely.
Hey, definitely excited to see the rest of your journey, bro. Thanks for taking your time for speaking with us at The Voice of America. Definitely will be tapping in and watching and making sure, you know what I'm saying, you guys are doing well. We'll chat in a little bit as well.
My brother, appreciate you.
That was John Jordan. He plays for FUSD Rabat. We're about to see him in action shortly. He's a former NBA G League dunk contest winner and NBA G League champion at 5'10". With a
5'10 on a good day, he said, yeah. You know, with the 50-inch vertical.
Bro, how?
Insane. I was asking.
You asked him whether it was his genetics.
Yeah, he said it's just a combination. His mom used to run track. His dad was an all-around athlete. But to be honest with you, when you see his mechanics and the way that he uses his jump, right? Like I saw one alley-oop that the one that I was talking about is the one that really got me. That I noticed how high he was jumping, and the BAL posted it. And I was like, wow, this is your point guard going up for an alley-oop where he is extremely high.
And he's only
5'10". Wow. It's insane. You look under at his legs, and you can see the space. You see the space there. And, you know, we love when we see shorter players get up that high.
That's the mark of real sportsman.
Right.
Like, you know, being that short.
That athleticism.
Athleticism, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's phenomenal. I definitely think his expertise and his experience playing in the G League, playing in leagues all over the world. He did a stint with Europe and all over. He mentioned that, look, he's been watching the BAL from the very beginning. He actually used BAL Season 1's combine as a recovery tool because he had torn his meniscus. So he said he was just interested to try to get into this league, but, you know, he's kind of done with Europe now and he's looking to invest his time more so
he's
in Africa.
Entering the journeyman phase of the Africa.
absolutely. And if FUS Rabat can use him the correct way as they have so far with his veteran leadership, I'm excited to see.
In the conferences,
he did relatively well. Yeah.
He's the point guard of the team.
Yeah,
and the team did well. So usually when the point guard is, you know,
I believe he looked to me like the leader of the team. You know, even though he's not the captain is a Moroccan by the name of Abdelhakim Zouaita, who is man, he's older. He's older than me by a year.
Jordan is the captain now.
Jordan is it. I'm the captain now.
I couldn't resist.
It was too easy.
That was an alley-oop.
There we go. You had to dunk it. Yeah, man. No, but Jordan's stats have been good, man. Throughout this the conference, but like we mentioned earlier as well, right? The Kalahari Conference would have been so much sweeter, man, if Dynamo was able to play in it in its entirety.
Yeah, absolutely,
because we would have got such
what
a good
loss
feel,
for us. You know? Watching, yeah, and yeah. For the team, you know, for the guys, also what the opportunity to play in South Africa, they probably would have made it. To Kigali. But we are coming to a close of our coverage. The game between Cape Town Tigers and El Ahly of Libya just concluded. El Ahly moves on. Cape Town moves out. I'm talking about the hotel room back to Cape Town. I'm killing it today, my guys. But I will catch you again. We'll be back for the second game. FUS Rabat takes on the champions,
Al-Ahli Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Shortly, and we'll be in studio. We are dedicated to staying here as long as the games are being played.
We're here for you guys. You know, just know that is why we are here.
That's why we're here.
It's for you all, you know, absolutely. For the viewers and the listeners. But just quickly touching on the last point, Jonathan Jordan is averaging 16.3 points a game. He's leading scorer for FUS Rabat, also leading in assist as well with 4.5 assists. Interestingly enough, one of the youngest, brightest stars from the BAL last season, Aliou Diarra, is on the team with him, who is averaging 15 points right now. So it'll be interesting to see Aliou Diarra leading in total rebounds with 8.5 rebounds, borderline double-double. He's had some double-doubles already, so it'll be very interesting to see what he does this game coming up.
Absolutely, and we'll catch you later.